Good Friday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Nice crisp morning out there. We've got mostly clear skies, 47 degrees at our WDAY Radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the southeast, 5 miles an hour. The beautiful weather continuing. We are looking for sunshine, 80 for our high today. Tomorrow, NDSU homecoming tailgating going on. It's going to be a lovely day for that. Sunshine, 75 for the high. And Sunday, another sunny day with a high around 80. One person died when a semi and road grader collided in Wilkin County. It happened just before 4:30 yesterday afternoon on County Road 3. The two were headed southbound when they collided, and the impact sent both vehicles into the ditch. The road grader overturned on its roof while the semi remained on its wheels. Names of those involved are expected to be released this afternoon. The Fargo Convention Center Committee could take a major step forward today. According to the meeting agenda, the committee will meet at 1 this afternoon inside the City Hall Commission Chambers. Members may vote on which proposal should advance to the second phase of the process. The city invited private developers to submit plans for the design, construction, and operation of a new convention center and adjacent development. Officials say 9 proposals were submitted, and the project will ultimately move ahead as a public-private partnership. Moorhead Area Public Schools officials are reviewing a book from Horizon Middle School West Library that some find inappropriate and racist. An issue was raised on social media about Not My Idea, a book about whiteness. On our sister station, The Flag, Superintendent Dr. Brandon Lunick says Minnesota education standards allow for books to be reviewed. Lunick says, well, he believes they owe it to students to provide a diverse set of literature. He says there's a way for improvement all the way around. Memory Cafe is now operational at its new location in South Fargo. The nonprofit has a permanent space now for a weekly program serving more than 100 people with dementia and cognitive difficulties. Executive Director Maggie Ness is having a central location to host programs will transform and enhance the group services offered to the community. Memory Cafe is now located along 25th Street and 40th Avenue South. New court documents obtained by our news partners at Valley News Live are revealing details about a standoff in Devil's Lake earlier this month involving an off-duty police officer. Authorities say Officer Ray Hannon is accused of sexually assaulting a woman inside his home. When officers arrived to serve a search warrant September 9th, he allegedly threatened to shoot himself while holding an 11-month-old baby. He later put the child down before going into the garage. Police say he fired a round that struck his ear and went through the garage door. He now faces a charge of reckless endangerment with a firearm. A massive dairy operation is headed to Trail County. State regulators have approved a permit for Herberg Dairy Facility near Hillsboro. The site will house 25,000 head of cattle, including more than 21,000 milking cows. The facility's legal name will be Riverview ND LLP. It's their second approved dairy project this year. Another facility near Abercrombie in Richland County was permitted back in January. The Department of Justice is suing the Minnesota Secretary of State because he's refused to hand over voter rolls. The lawsuit against Steve Simon was filed yesterday as the Trump administration seeks personal information of Minnesota voters. Full names, dates of birth, addresses, driver's license numbers, and the last 4 of their socials are examples of the information the government wants. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi says every state has a responsibility to ensure that voter registration records are accurate, accessible, and secure. Secretary of State Simon argues there's no basis in law for the Department of Justice to demand such information. Pay attention as you're traveling. Deer are most active now as we head into October. October through early December is peak season for deer vehicle crashes. Deer are most active at dawn and dusk, and if you see one cross the road, expect to see more. Hankinson's holding their annual Oktoberfest celebration tomorrow. Earlier this week, we spoke with Beth Teagues, who's a member of the committee, and she says there will be plenty of food, music, as well as contests. Festivities get underway at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. It'll conclude with an evening fireworks show. And Minnesota has issued its first cannabis event license for a festival this weekend. The Legacy Cup is being held at Surly Brewing Festival Field in Minneapolis tomorrow. The event will feature cannabis vendors and live music. Only those 21 and older are allowed, and no alcohol will be served. 5:05, Jay Stenman is here now with a check on our WDAY Radio Sports. And, of course, weekend means busy time for sports.
Absolutely, as well as Thursday going into Friday night here. Last night we had some high school volleyball as Oak Grove edged Grand Forks Central in a five-setter. West Fargo beat Fargo North in straight sets. Shanley down Grand Forks Red River in straight sets. And Fargo Davies beat West Fargo Cheyenne in a series sweep there as well. On the Minnesota side, DGF swept Barnesville. Hawley swept Park Rapids. Perham beat Pelican Rapids in straight sets. Ada Borup West defeated Lake Park Audubon in three sets. And Park Christian fell to Manoman in five sets. So just a couple of five setters. Everybody else was sweeping their way to victory last night. Minnesota Twins shut out the Texas Rangers 4-0. You know, Twins are 68-90. So, you know, we got that going for us, which is, you know, which is nice. Bailey Ober struck out five batters over six scoreless innings en route to earning the win. Byron Buxton, he's still playing, believe it or not, hit two home runs while driving in all four of the game's runs. Twins now head to Philadelphia for a three-game series against the Phillies to wrap up the season. First pitch for Friday night's series opener is scheduled for 5:45 here locally. Joe Ryan is set to be the starting pitcher for the Twins. Minnesota Twins dropped their second preseason matchup of the preseason, this time 5-2 to the Dallas Stars. Wild gave up four goals in the third period. James sent his email. He's a little tired. He said that they gave up four runs in the third period. So, Marco Rossi scored both goals for the Wild. They will now host the Chicago Blackhawks on Sunday at 5 p.m. That will be preseason game 4 of 6. And also yesterday, Bonnie, I don't know if you saw this or not, a lot of teams, you know, celebrating anniversaries, celebrating just the opportunity to wear throwback uniforms because a lot of teams do that. Mm-hmm. Wild have been wearing kind of a Minnesota Wild version of the Dallas Stars colors in the past. Mm-hmm. This year, they're bringing back their white original Minnesota Wild jersey that they wore in season number one. I don't remember if that's exactly how it used to be. I don't know if they changed and put the bear head logo on it instead of the other logo, but it's a retro looking jersey. So in uniform. So if you guys are a fan of uniforms like I am, go ahead and check it out. WNBA semifinals get underway tonight as the Minnesota Lynx are in Phoenix. That will be the late game on ESPN2. Best of five is tied at one. Minnesota had a big lead in that game, too. This is a game I feel that they need to have, Bonnie. They cannot let this slide and get down 2-1. Meanwhile, the early game, it's tipping off about 6:30. The Las Vegas Aces will be in Indiana to take on the Fever. Starts at 6:30. That series is tied at one apiece as well. Las Vegas handled Indiana in game two. We'll see if they can keep that up. This week, the Minnesota Vikings take on the Pittsburgh Steelers in Dublin, Ireland, Sunday at 8:30 a.m. on NFL Network. So hopefully most of you have NFL Network due to your cable or satellite or YouTube subscription. The Vikings are 2-1 entering the season. Carson Wentz gets start number two for the Purple. Let's see, football on the flag, on our sister station, the flag first off, this weekend. Fargo Davies hosting West Fargo Cheyenne kickoff at 7 p.m. with James and myself, and then we'll get up bright and not, well, early but not so bright on Saturday morning. We'll head to Duluth for a 12 p.m. kickoff. That'll be an 11 a.m. pregame show, for the Dragons as they take on the Duluth Bulldogs. All your coverage and action will be over there on our sister station, The Flag, right here on WDAY Radio tonight. Larry Knutson, the legend himself, will be broadcasting Moorhead as they take on the top-ranked Maple Grove squad. 6 p.m. kickoff with Larry. And then Saturday, he will drive down to the Twin Cities as the Concordia Cobbers get set to take on Gustavus Adolphus with a 1 p.m. kickoff there. And that is your sports for this hour.
Yeah, and don't forget, coming up 8:10 this morning, big game James McCarty. We'll have your pick six. We want you to get involved in that. You pick the six games, give us a score of the Vikings game. Whoever gets the most picks right will win a fine prize, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. Beautiful weather that we've seen all week, continuing here through the weekend. Looks like sunny, 80 for our high today. Winds out of the south-southeast, 10 to 25, 49 our overnight low. Sunny, a little cooler, but still a very nice day tomorrow. 75 for the high, west winds 5 to 15, 51 the overnight low. Sunday, sunny, high of 80, south winds 10 to 20 with a low of 53, and it looks like maybe a little bit of rain next Tuesday as well as Thursday. However, I can see WDAYRadioNow.com temps remaining in the upper 70s, so right around 80 degrees, at least through Thursday.
Yep, it's still...
we'll take it,
Yeah, it's still extending. It's still going. Hope, just like you said, though, Bonnie, you hope that with the continued kind of summer type weather, that the fall weather doesn't just get overwritten by the summer weather and we just go from 2 weeks of fall into winter. You know what I mean? You're hoping that whenever that fall weather finally shows up and we're in the 50s every day or whatnot, that lasts well into, dare I say, December. You know, be nice.
I mean, it can happen.
It can happen.
We'll see. But yeah, we're a little bit above average. Did Dean say like maybe 5 degrees above average or something?
Oh, I forgot. I know that when you talk about averages, I just know that at one point we thought we'd had a bunch of rain, but it turns out we were right at average because we had kind of had spots where we had a lot of rain come down over a couple of days, and then all of a sudden we wouldn't have any for a couple of weeks. So I remember being right around the average of what we were supposed to be in. For a while this summer, we were below by like 7 inches of rain, but we finally caught up, I believe. Yeah. So,
well, for the end of September, heading in October, we are above average. Mm-hmm. I know he said that. I thought he said 5 degrees, but we'll ask him again. He'll be showing up within the next hour here. Right now, it's mostly clear. We have 47 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the southeast, 5 miles an hour. We're going to get your national news in from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. Happy Fri-yay. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Are you good with Fri-yay? You're excited.
I'm excited. It's Friday.
We got football action.
Football tonight, football
games
tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know.
That's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, exactly. Looking forward to getting out there. Looking forward to being in the closet up there in Duluth. It's a very narrow storage room.
At least it's going to be nice. It's not going to be super cold and windy and rainy or anything like that.
We're enclosed. We don't have anything to worry about weather when it comes to this weekend's game when we're up there. So, I mean, there's that. It's just, it provided kind of some funny moments on the live stream last year, obviously when the Dragons pulled the upset. But literally, we have to lean forward to see the scoreboard.
It's kind of squishy in there a little bit.
So one at a time, we're like leaning forward to look at how much time is left, etc. So it provided kind of some comedic
Janae watched visuals. That video over and over and over again and couldn't stop laughing about it.
Well, we were so stunned at the 2-point conversion that they got to win it all. And then, you know, James is trying to make sure there's no penalties and I'm, you know, there's no time left on the clock. And I mean, it was crazy, to say the least.
And we look forward to another great video coming up from the booth.
Hope so. James does a good job of picking out some of the highlights and sharing them. I mean, obviously, this last week, we had another milestone for Jack Strand, 100 touchdown passes in his career. We had two records broken by Gage Florence, one of the star wide receivers for the Dragons. He's second all-time in collegiate receptions, number one. And number two, he broke the conference record now. Mm. He had to have two receptions. I can't remember if he had 5 or 6 last week. I think he had 6. So he's the all-time receptions leader in the NSIC as far as receptions go. I believe, I can't remember if it was last week or if he did it the week before, but I believe he's also now the school's all-time record holder for receiving yardage.
Nice.
So he's got a couple more records. Jack's got another milestone. I mean, it's record setting what these two guys have done. And granted, times change when it comes to football and your style of play. But obviously, since Steve Lockway has been there, they've been a pass first type of team, and they've really found a locker room full of guys that system really, really works well for them. And so they're a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. So. But we'll see if they can get back in the win column this weekend.
All right. Good luck to the Dragons and all the other teams out there this weekend. What's the longest vacation you ever took and where did you go? That's our Bonnie and Friends Question of the Morn, 701-293-9000. You can email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 5:24 on a Fri-yay. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. If you like the weather we've seen all week, well, it's going to be continuing, looks like, all the way, at least the temperature-wise, through next Thursday. Chance of some rain Tuesday and Thursday. It looks like Tuesday's chance is about 20%, and then maybe a better chance of rain, 40%, coming up on Thursday. And that's as far as I can see into next week there at WDAYRadioNow.com. But harvest underway. You know, it's dry out there. We could use a little rain. Maybe farmers are hoping it holds off a little bit more, but we haven't seen any rain now all this week. And was it like last Friday? I want to say that it was raining all Thursday, Friday. Yeah, it was.
I was worried about maybe a little bit of rain last weekend. Or no, that was Winona. We had two. We had back to back weekends.
I think
in
it was
Moorhead.
Last weekend where we had were week where we had rain Thursday.
Well, Friday. There was one of them that it started raining during the game for a little bit. That might have been Wayne. I'm not sure, but
it continued into Saturday.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice to get a little bit of rain. I mean, to me, it seems like this is the time of year, especially when you're home, you're able to have that, kind of rainy, drizzly, maybe, you know, almost a weekend type day or something like that, you know, so it's not, you know, not that you want to ruin your weekend or anything, but, you have those days where it's just kind of rainy, overcast, and you can sit inside and watch movies or whatever
rainy,
the case
lazy
is.
Days.
Yeah, exactly.
I like those days once in a while.
Yeah.
But the temperatures are going to stay up and a beautiful weekend.
Yep.
NDSU has homecoming here. Lots of outdoor football tonight and tomorrow. So enjoy the weather while we still have it. 47 degrees right now at our WDAY radio studios. High top I 29 in South Fargo. Southeast winds 5 miles an hour. Our question of the morn, what is the longest vacation you ever took and where did you go? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page.
I think longest as far as time off goes, I think it was in 2007, technically. It wasn't exactly much of a vacation. I saved up a bunch of leave, and that was the time we moved from California to North Dakota. So we went, had everything packed up. The movers showed up, and then we drove from California through Nevada, Utah, Wyoming, out to Rapid City. I think maybe we stopped by my brother's place out there.
So you turned to move back into kind of a vacation.
I was off. I think I had enough saved up, so I think I was off for like a month or something like that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I mean, it was at least 3 weeks, and I think I've...
Nice if you have enough money.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was... I left my office, in a sense, in California. Like I said, we got packed up. We moved. Had to wait a little bit to get the keys to the place, close the deal on our house. And so we had to stay at my folks's for a few days or whatever. My oldest was just like a year and a half old at the time, so no worries there. And then we moved in, didn't have all of our stuff. And then we started, you know, getting all of our stuff. It was put down in the family room. It was wintertime. And then I didn't start officially working in the office until I think like the first week of March. But the actual longest vacation we took, as I think when we took that big family trip to Mexico, we went to Cancun, and that was probably like an 8 or 9 days down there or something like that. It was about a day or two, just where you're kind of like, you're not doing anything different. I know my folks went on one of the excursions. They went and drove like 4 or 5 hours to the Mayan temples or Mayan ruins or whatever, and came back in the same day. And mom and dad did do zip lining. The rest of us were just happy to be there and just kind of relaxing. So by the time you got to day 7 or 8, you're just kind of like, well, it's kind of rinse and repeat. You wake up, you go down to the pool, hang out on the beach, which is great. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, the food is starting to taste kind of similar from day to day because you're kind of eating in this kind of buffet-ish type of area. So it was just a bit too long, but it was great. I mean, I loved it. I mean, sitting there on the beach, not doing anything.
That's
great.
Like when we, you know, Greece, Serbia, too. It's like, we probably could have came back a day or two sooner.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
I think I've heard other people say that about their trips. It's like, this could have been, you know, 5 days instead of seven or whatever. And sometimes it's hard to figure, like, how many days you want.
So
I get that.
I think on that trip, I think that we would have been, including a couple weekends, I bet you I took probably close to 14 days,
nice.
but that's probably including those 2 weekends. So I was probably gone 2 weeks there, I bet.
Yeah, but to turn it into rapid and weekends, I know like I've done where I would take a Friday off when we still had our camper in the Park Rapids area, take a Friday off, take kids with, and then you have like 10-day vacation or whatever, go to Itasca, rent bikes and do stuff like that when they were young. That's what Dave in Grand Rapids said too, was Itasca State Park, whole week. What a fun time.
Yep.
And that's a fabulous place to go to. What is the longest vacation you ever took? Where did you go? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Our friend Mike up in Northwood on the line with us this morning. Good morning to you, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you today?
It's Friday.
Yeah.
I'm doing fine so far.
Friday is right. Looking forward to the weekend.
Another beautiful weekend, yes.
Yeah, this weather's been lovely. No complaints.
Oh, no. It's it hasn't hurt the golf course any.
Mm-hmm.
No, I bet not. Yeah, and if, you know, we can keep this going, boy, another, well, at least keep this going, and then maybe, like Jay said, kind of go into fall, more fall-like temperatures through October through November would be lovely, but we shall see.
Yeah. You never know. It could turn by next Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'll just say, okay, you guys, hope you had fun.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Yep, you're absolutely right. So enjoy it while we have it.
We're going to.
All right. Well, I don't know. Did you consider what you did last year your longest vacation, or what's your longest vacation you ever took?
That would be, people are going to say, well, wait a minute, that's not, 5 months is not a vacation.
It is when you're retired.
Well, yeah. And if it wasn't that, it'd be when 2001, Lonnie and I, we did 8 days in Vegas, which is about 6 days too long. But
because you ran out of money or what?
No. Her cousin and her husband that gave us a week in Vegas for our first anniversary.
Oh my goodness!
Well, they had a timeshare down there,
mm-hmm.
and that's, so they met us down there, and that they had one suite, and we had the suite right next to them, and we spent, they'd been there many times, so they had the whole week planned out. You know, he was ex-military, so it was, you know, eight in the morning breakfast, 9 o'clock this, 9:30 that, you know. And Lonnie had never been to Vegas. I'd been through there. That's about it. So
yeah.
But 8 days, we went and seen things that, you know, most people there would see, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went on to Hoover Dam, and then we went to some place. There's some big candy factory down there. Mars.
Oh.
Mars Candy.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, you know, that, I think that's where that lady is from. The lady, Mrs. Mars or whatever. So they, and that, you know, some places out of the way that, you know, other people probably wouldn't even go to.
Yeah. But sometimes it's just like, okay, this has been fun. We've had a really good time, but it's also nice to get back home, right?
Well, yeah. You know, and you only spend one day on the strip. Okay, that's enough. We went to, where is it, downtown, what's that street on, Fremont.
Oh, sure, mm-hmm. yep.
That was an adventure.
I bet it was.
We had the Friday night we were there, it was LGBTQ weekend.
Okay.
So, okay, there's that, woke up a North Dakota boy.
you got quite a show, yeah, you did. I've not been to Vegas, I've not been to Vegas as an adult, I mean... We went past through Nevada and stuff, and Hoover Dam when we were kids and stuff. But I'm not a gambler. I don't like smoke. Like, if I went, I'd go see, like, shows. That would be the thing that I would want to see if I went to Vegas.
I think we gambled. The wives that went to the bathroom, and Kip and I, we sat down at a casino at a slot, and maybe $5 each.
Yeah. I could maybe do it,
gambling,
you know, for an hour or two one day, and then I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm not, I don't want to lose any more money. Unless, of course, I hit it big, then maybe I'd have a switch in routine there. But some people love going. They go every year. I know one of my sisters, her and her husband go like 2-3 times a year. They absolutely love Vegas.
I don't mind it because I love to watch people.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
You know, I'd say at Christmas time, I can sit in a mall.
Yep.
You know, and just watch the people and see the reactions of, you know, a woman wants to go into a lady's store and she's trying to talk her husband into it. And he's trying to, you can tell he's trying to make excuses why not to go in there and stuff like this. It's comical to watch.
People watching. Yeah, my younger sister and her husband, they travel a lot and they love people watching too. So, yeah, making the best of it and enjoying what you like to do, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You know, the Philippines is great.
Mm-hmm.
That was really great.
Mm-hmm. That might be your home someday.
Well, hopefully, maybe. Mm. Who knows?
Yeah. When those old bones of yours decide they've had enough of North Dakota winters.
Yep. And that's getting pretty close to getting to it.
Yeah. Well, and you're not alone. It's just a different locale. But, I mean, how many people from our region decide to winter in Arizona or wherever down south, you know, New Mexico?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there, you know, there's been times, you know, you go down to Arizona and it's like you look at the weather and they're like, oh, it's only 20 degrees warmer in Arizona than it is here in North Dakota in January.
That's true. You know, sometimes like that. I've seen people take Florida vacations and it's actually colder there than it is here the last couple of winters anyway when they happen to be gone. It's just like, oops, you didn't exactly pick the dates right for when you should plan that trip.
You know, in the Philippines, it was for 5 months at least 85 degrees every day.
That's too warm.
You couldn't expect that.
I'd get sick of that. That's too warm for me.
And no wind, but the humidity was just...
Made you wilt?
Well, you just kind of sat.
Yeah. Well, that's no fun
either. Find shade and sit.
Yeah. Well, you have yourself a great weekend, Mike. It's always great hearing your voice.
Hey, you guys also, Nat, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Mike.
Thank you. Phone lines are always open to you guys. 701-293-9000. What's the longest vacation you ever took? Where did you go? You can also email us studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Lawn Man, I love this. Took a 3-week vacation to Redmond, Oregon to visit his niece and her kids. Then they took a drive to Newport, Oregon on the coast to visit their son.
Oh, nice.
Oregon, beautiful.
Yeah. I and my grandfather would occasionally take these big long trips, especially when he got older. We were living in Northern California, and I forget the route that he took, but he stopped a couple places or stopped a place, got out to California, stayed with us for like a week, and then went from Northern California down to Southern California and over to Arizona, I believe. And I think he might have stayed actually with my mom's aunt and uncle, or maybe it was actually there was another family member of his that was in Arizona and stayed there. So he made like a 3 to 4 week trip, and it was just grandpa by himself driving as well. Of course, the funniest thing is he was very set in his ways, obviously. So he would wake up and my wife would tell me that after I'd gone to work, it's like, yep, grandpa got up, had his vest and his bolo tie on, his boots on and everything. And, was just kind of sitting there at the dining room table and he's like, oh, can I get you something? Fried egg and a piece of toast.
Waiting to get served breakfast.
Pretty much.
Because grandma probably took care of him all the time.
She did for many, many years until obviously she had her stroke or whatever. But I mean, that's a fond memory of mine, not just because grandpa took this long 3 to 4 week just road trip, just kind of going to different places, staying with different relatives, et cetera. Cause obviously it was fantastic to have him there. But coincidentally enough, when my grandmother passed away, I was in training for my job. And so I wasn't able to come back for the funeral because at that time, you know, you got this nice pay raise taking this federal job and you're in Georgia, but you didn't want to miss too much time because you didn't want to restart over the training there. You didn't have enough money saved up really for a plane ticket on short notice, et cetera. So I didn't make the funeral. And so that always weighed pretty heavily on me. And it was kind of one of those times where you're able to kind of forgive yourself for not being there at that, because you were able to sit there at the dining room table with grandpa and talk about memories we had of grandma. Mm-hmm. And so that really kind of gave me some relief there. And it wasn't one of those things. I don't believe that my grandfather specifically planned it, but he just so happened to be out there on grandma's birthday. Because I, you know, grandma's birthday, then that was in January. So it wasn't when I was in, that wasn't around the time of the funeral, but it's just when I always remembered her. So he was out there over grandma's birthday, and it was a nice kind of closure for me.
I like that. What's the longest vacation you ever took? Where did you go? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Susie says, won a trip to Acapulco through her husband's business. All she did was eat fresh crab legs. I'd do the same thing. Also parasailed as high as she could. Oh, Susie, for the first time, I look like I was a size 2 in the sky. Bonnie says Grand Cayman on 9/11. They got stranded because of the terrorist attacks for an extra 2 days, so they were there for 10 days.
Uh-huh.
I've heard that's beautiful, too, Grand Cayman. Have you been there before?
I think That's over by the Bahamas, isn't it?
I think so.
I think that was one of our stops. I think we stopped by the Grand Cayman Islands and then also Nassau, Bahamas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but then again, when you stop at Grand Caymans or Nassau, you're only there for, in a sense, you're only there for a few hours before you get back on the boat and they take you to the next spot, because the boat, in a sense, is always kind of moving. You left from Orlando and went over to Nassau and the Cayman Islands and then circled back. So I was technically there, but we didn't spend much time there. Mm-hmm. I think that was the place. That was the place. I think we had the private beach or whatever for the cruise line. So if you wanted to do this excursion, we got to go over to this little Bahama island and hang out on the beach during that afternoon or whatever. I want to say that was the Cayman Islands, and then Nassau was when we got to go there, and all the dudes on the beach are like, you know, trying to, you know, braid your mom or your sister's hair for $5
well,
or $10.
To make money.
I know.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what they do. So yeah. I mean, they just go on along the beach and braid people's hair, and mom and my sister came back with a few braids in their hair.
And they're so appreciative. You give them a buck or two, and wow, you've made their day.
Yeah.
What's the longest vacation you ever took? Where did you go? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Five 5:47 on a Friday. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. You're the friends. I'm Bonnie. He's Jace Denman. Ken Duffy will have your WDAY Radio news coming up at the top of the hour, followed by Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki and Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. Our question of the morn, what is the longest vacation you ever took and where did you go? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Carla says, and I don't know if this is like a winter getaway or whatever, but she said Florida 6 weeks.
I would hope it's during the wintertime, because Florida, Georgia, et cetera, down there, it's really hot and humid for someone that doesn't deal well with humidity. So hopefully they went around December-ish into January, because that would be epic time to be in Florida.
6 weeks is a long time, unless unless you're like retired, right?
I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, you do. You're retired.
I had 5 days of retirement, Bonnie. Give
that
me
was your decision.
I know. I just couldn't wait to start
this
here.
Radio thing was way more fun than actually staying. Well, that was the same thing too. Janet retired from her job, and then I think she went to work at the mall or whatever. Like 5 days later, because she was bored.
Yeah. I mean, my parents have done a good job. They are not super bored, but I mean, to me, it's like, it's still a point in time where I still have to, I mean, I still need to have a job, at least making a little bit of extra money. I mean, you know, can I, you know, live on retirement savings and pension? Sure, but why not let that retirement fund continue to grow? And
you're doing what you love to do too.
Well, except for the time
of the
day.
You like this. I don't know if you love it. But your sports. I mean, you love doing your sports.
Yeah, I mean, that is the reason why I got into radio is to do sports. And James and I get to do it. And being a part of – and because I told one of the coaches from the Fargo Force, and was kind of talking to some of the players, kind of making some small talk, getting them comfortable with us before we do these little two-minute interviews in the box, right, that'll be shown in the arena. And then for everybody's information, they'll be on the Fargo Force's YouTube page, so you can look at them there, all the ones we've done in the past. But when you kind of get to be a external part of the organization, like, you know, we get to chance to have conversations, you know, before and after these interviews with the Fargo Force players, which a lot of times you're up in the stands, you don't really know them when they don't have their helmets on and stuff, you don't really recognize them, you're like, they need to have a jersey number so I know who's who, so we don't know those guys as well. But like the football and basketball teams over at MSUM, I mean, we got to see a couple former Dragon women's basketball players this past weekend, and I mean, it was great to catch up with them, because I think they're going to do some really good things in the world after getting done with school. Because off to grad school, and then here we've got like a half a dozen guys, or at least five guys, that have moved out to Denver to play Division I basketball. So it means a lot to be able to be involved with these organizations on an external level. I mean, James and I feel like we're part of the Force and we're part of the Dragons. So I mean,
and these kids are keeping you young too. So it's a good absolutely thing you came out of retirement.
We had one of the nicest compliments, in a sense, that we've gotten from some of the players. And not that these other players don't do this, but we were talking to Carson Elbert And we had interviewed him for this weekend's, you know, pregame and stuff. And we were talking to him, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I watch all of these."
Cool.
And we're kind of like, "You do?" Like, "Yeah, I watch all of them."
Yeah.
And we're like, "Oh, well, thanks," because, you know,
I check you boys out.
Yeah,
too.
I know you do. But James was just like, "Thanks, that means a lot," because obviously when the players when the players watch it, you know, they obviously share it with family members, and a lot of times these little videos. I mean, if you think about when you were in high school and I was in high school. Even being on the radio was a huge deal.
We got a game,
you know, a couple of games where we were on the radio. We thought we were big time because we got to be on the radio.
Absolutely.
And so these young men are get the school live streams up. Obviously, the USHL, all their games are live streamed on Flow Sports. And to get a chance to talk with them, you know, they'll share it with friends and family. And
it's
a big deal to them. And, you know, it means a lot to us. And so to hear with that one of the players, yeah, I watch all these videos you guys do with the players. I mean, that meant a lot to
us. That's cool. Love that. What is the longest vacation you ever took? Where did you go? That's our Bonnie and Friends Question of the Morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Ruben says, 3 weeks in Thailand. And I think that, according to my daughter, her side hustle used to be travel agents. So what she would do for herself was like look for like really good deals where she could travel for, you know, a good price. And I know her and her friend went for 3 weeks too, and they said it was just perfect. They went to like some elephant sanctuary and got to, I don't think you do pet an elephant. You get a brush or whatever. I had a friend, some cool pictures.
Yeah, I had a friend from my last job that they went to Thailand and they got to do something with the elephants, like help take care of them,
feed them.
Yep, exactly.
That's what Bailey and her friend did too. And then, of course, all the beautiful temples there. So that would be a really good trip. In fact, I think Bailey says that of all the, and she's been to like 30 different countries. Of all the countries she's been to, I think the top two are Thailand and the Philippines as her most favorite.
Right.
I think because of just the natural beauty. So picturesque, beautiful. And in fact, I think, well, that picture on our Facebook page, if you guys have dropped comments, that's her sitting there. And I want to say that might be the Philippines where she's sitting on like a ledge overlooking. You can see like the ocean or sea and then some.
Oh, that's your daughter in that picture? Oh, I thought it was
Use it for a Facebook post every once in a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just thought that was a stock photo. I didn't even realize that was your daughter.
Nope, that was her friend took it. So every once in a while when I need a picture.
Then again, I don't know the back of your daughter's head, so like you do.
For sometimes when I need a picture for certain things, I'll just go into my stock folder and find what I can find. What's the longest vacation you ever took? Where did you go? That's our Bonnie and Friends Question of the Morn. Crash says he went to Pittsburgh for a Steelers home opener, spent 6 days there, had great seats. That'd be fun. Yeah, if you're going, you know, why just go to the game for, you know, rush in for a day or two? You might as well turn it into a trip when you go on something like that. Justine says in high school, she went with her German club to Europe for 17 days.
Nice. My folks over the years now, they've done like one, they've tried to do one big trip a year, and so when we talked to, who was it? Was it David or somebody that didn't, or no, it was, who did the Alaskan cruise? We were just talking to them like this week.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, they've done that. They've gone to Italy and they've gone to like, they did a trip. I don't know if it was the Italy trip where they went to England and Amsterdam and stuff like that.
Your folks love to travel.
And they've gone to Switzerland before. So they've done some of these trips now that they're retired. And, you know, they'll go with like my mom's twin sister and her husband or whatever. So they have a ball doing that and they're getting a chance to see different parts of the world. So, I mean, I think that's awesome. And so sometimes those trips like that, you know, mom and dad will be gone for a couple weeks or something. So they'll send you like months in advance. Here's our itinerary when we're going. Then, of course, I got to try and find the email because I forget about it. I'm like, oh, shoot, that's right. They're not in the same country as me right now.
That's what my younger sister, Heidi, who runs the greenhouse, you know, she has the winter off. Her and her husband, they take a big trip every year. A lot of times they go to the Caribbean, but they've done other trips to Switzerland. They meet people on these trips who become friends of theirs. Switzerland, they went with a couple they met. They had a wonderful time there. I know they met another couple that lives up in Canada and her friend Wendy up there. They run a farm up in Canada, but she'll come down to the States and hang out with Heidi for a week in the wintertime, kind of when she starts planting her flowers or whatever, coming up like in February or March, she'll come help her. But they've gone on different trips together too. So, yeah, sometimes it's, you know, the people you meet when you're on vacation, they can be lifetime friends of yours too.
Yeah, absolutely they can. I mean, and that sometimes happens, and it's awesome.
Mark went on a 10-day fishing trip to Canada. He says, awesome. I imagine that would be fabulous, right? Wow.
I mean, especially if you're big into fishing. I mean, I know my brother's taken hunting trips where they've either, maybe, I guess, I want to say it was hunting rather than fishing, but I think my brother's taken trips with his father-in-law where they've gone hunting or fishing and done some kind of outdoorsy stuff. So, I mean, that is... that is always cool, especially if it's something you like to do, you know, and maybe, you know, even doing stuff like if you want to, I don't know, if you're really into outdoorsy stuff, maybe you want to go get a cabin where there's no electricity or running water and you want to just really rough it for,
You
know, there's times like that. I mean, I've been fascinated lately watching these videos of people building like, emergency shelters out in the woods or there. I mean, I think these other ones are a little bit extra because they're building like a log cabin by hand, but they've got all the supplies and stuff, you know, but they're still using hammer and nails and hatchets and
stuff. I'd be
totally
content. Throw me in the middle of the woods. I mean, it can be rustic as it is, and I don't care as long as, you know, you're in the woods, you're on a lake where you can do some fishing. Peace.
Exactly.
I'd love that. Barb says the longest vacation she ever took was just a week. Doesn't say, you know, if she did anything special, just a week. James went to Daytona Bike Week.
Oh, nice. That's the other big, that's the other big one.
I bet
next
you see a lot of stuff there too.
Yeah, I think you, a lot of, or just a lot of certain people you might see. So
if you're a people watcher, that's a good place to go, I guess. Or if you want to get an education, maybe.
Yeah, I know, right?
And Doris, kind of like your folks, she went on a 32-day vacation. She cruised around South America.
Oh, wow.
Boy, that would be something, huh?
Mm-hmm.
If you like cruising. I've never been on a cruise, but you guys know me. I'm claustrophobic, and I've got motion sickness. I don't know how well I would do in a tiny room like that. And I know that, granted, you should really just probably sleep there and then spend your time out and about. Maybe someday. I'm not going to rule out that I would ever go on a cruise.
Yeah.
Maybe someday, but I'd hate to go and then be sick the whole time. I know a friend who also gets motion sickness, and I think they went on their honeymoon, and she was sick the whole time on the cruise, too.
Yeah, my... My sister, this, Rochelle, this isn't funny.
But you laughed. I heard a giggle.
Yeah. So I've said that the longest I've ever taken was the time that I moved to North Dakota, right?
I know where she's going with this.
So that was the longest time I took leave.
Yeah.
So there's that. The longest actual vacation we took is the trip we took to Mexico. I know there was one time I took two trips. One when I was like in grad school. We did the Florida, the cruise, and the Disney World, and then a couple weeks later, my roommate and I went out to Boston and stayed with a friend of mine out there. So my sister, you know, the smart Alex she is, she goes, what about the time that you were furloughed? Does that count?
Oh, I thought she was going to say when you checked out on us and you were gone from work for two and a half
months. That's true. That was a 2.5 month break there. That doesn't really count. I mean, it kind of does, but it doesn't because I didn't have enough leave.
You got
to
love friends and family, right?
Yeah,
we keep you honest. What's the longest vacation you ever took? Where did you go? That's our question of the morning. 5:59, we're going to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Radel. 6 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 6:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived with a check on our weekend forecast. It's been pretty easy, your job this week, huh?
It's been very easy. I like weeks like this, for sure. We got a cool start to the morning. Now, I didn't think it was that cool out. But
it feels good. It is cool.
43 degrees here
at
the studio.
Oh, it's that low.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it, though. It feels nice out. Now, there are some 30s on the map this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 39 in Hillsboro, 37 in Mayville, 37 in Galesburg. Moorhead, you're at 43. A little warmer in Lakes Country. DL's at 49. And Grand Forks is at 40. So a little chilly, not quite frost weather, but... when you're getting down into those 30s in the morning, yeah, that's when it starts to start feeling a little crisp. Feels good. Now we're going to have a lot of sunshine today, and we're going to have breezy conditions coming in out of the south-southeast, about 10 to 25. Highs in the upper 70s today, and then tonight, clear skies will dip back into the 40s, and the weekend looks beautiful. A little breezy both days. a little breezy out of the northwest on Saturday and breezy out of the south on Sunday. So we'll cool down a little bit on Saturday, about 74. Great weather for homecoming, though. And then Sunday, south winds increase and temperatures a little closer to 80 on Sunday. So pretty nice weather over the weekend with morning lows in the 40s to low 50s. So very pleasant weather, plenty of sunshine over the weekend. Like I said, great weather for homecoming. Great weather if you want to get out and hit the links. You know, we still have time for that. And then next week, we stay warm. It looks like to end the month of September. And there's finally rain in the forecast. I'll have more details on that coming up after the bottom of the hour.
Do you see any cliff we're going to fall off temperature-wise coming up at all?
No, I see something coming in. So next, the first 6-7 days of October, we're going to have these fast-moving systems going across southern Canada. When that happens, we warm up, cool down, warm up, cool down. So we'll be on that roller coaster ride for the first 6 to maybe 10 days of October. Then I see a big trough possibly building into the west. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to see.
Why?
Because that means stormy weather. That means snow in the Rockies. And then we want to see that for the first part of the LRC cycle. We want to see those storms.
No, we don't.
Yes,
do we
do.
Because then they're going to repeat.
I know.
No.
I know. We don't want these storms.
You want a little weather excitement, it sounds like.
Yeah, we don't want these storms going through southern Canada, warming us up, cooling us down. We want these big troughs, these big dips in the jet stream digging into the Rockies, and that means stormy weather.
Typical weather guy.
Yeah.
So maybe around the middle of October, we might have to dig out our fall jackets type thing?
Yes, yeah. Yes, okay. Yes. So enjoy. October's going to start out nice. It is, temperature-wise. And I do believe that first week, 10 days, well, heck, we're going to start out the month pretty close to 80. Yeah. So,
did you say we're like 5 degrees above normal?
Yeah. No, our normal highs are in the upper 60s. So
well, we're more than that.
Yeah, when we're in the when we're about the 80-degree range, we're in good 10-plus degrees above normal.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's great, though. All right.
But record highs on this day, believe it, are in the low 90s.
Oh, wow.
Every once in a while, you get something odd or extreme.
I know. That's too much. Sorry. Not for this late in the season.
Yeah. No. Because most people have their not all, but a lot of people have their lake places already closed up or their pool is already covered and kids are back in school and they're busy running in different directions. So,
And it looks like if you have any friends or relatives in the Carolinas, especially South Carolina, next week looks like hurricane. It's the I one. Anyway.
Isabel.
No, it's not Isabel.
Inez.
No, it's Umberto or something.
Umberto.
No, Inga. Umberto is going out to sea. That's the one that just missed the missed Bermuda or right around the Bermuda area. But next week, South Carolina is in the crosshairs for the potential of a hurricane hitting land.
Right. Well, so far, it's been tame.
It's been pretty quiet. Yeah, no doubt about it.
All right, question of the morn. What is the longest vacation you ever took and where did you go?
Oh, man. Longest vacation, like me or when I was younger with family?
It doesn't matter.
Anytime.
We took a week down in the Bahamas, Paradise Island.
Family did? Your family?
Family did, yeah, when we were younger. We always used to take...
What kind of money was your dad making back in the day to take
my
the
dad,
forget about
the
it.
I told you my dad offered me his business.
Oh, yeah, that's
He's
right.
like, you don't have to go to college. He goes, I make more than doctors do. He goes, but... you got to live the rest of your life here in Joliet. I'm like, ain't happening. Yeah. Sorry, not happening. So he sold his business, and the guy's still running the business to this day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like to see that. But yeah, we went down to Paradise Island. It was absolutely beautiful.
How old were you about?
13?
Just at that age where you were
just where you might
trouble.
Be able to cause. We didn't. Nah, we took weekend vacations sometimes. You ever been to French Lick? Indiana?
No, but you've brought it up on the show
before. That's a pretty cool little town. We'd go there.
How far was that from Joliet?
From Joliet?
Like a five-hour drive.
Yeah, it's in southeastern corner of Indiana.
Okay, yeah.
Or southwestern corner, sorry. But yeah, the longest was, Paradise Island. Took a week down there.
What good memories, though.
Oh, you talk about beautiful. Mm. Have you ever been down there? I heard you talking about Nassau.
Yep.
And you guys stopped.
Yeah, I think we stopped in Nassau. We saw the Cayman Islands. Yep.
Yeah, it was. I've never been on a cruise, and I just have no desire.
Really?
I haven't either, and I'm. I'm not going to rule it out. I don't know.
Somebody in my house doesn't like the idea of cruises, so I'm just like, really?
I'd rather camp out, like, you know,
yeah,
paradise on a beach.
Yep.
No, camp
in a lake.
Yeah. Something, yeah, but not on a ship or
it's different. It's not like I want to do it all the time or anything, but I mean, I enjoyed it when we went on it because it's
I heard it's beautiful.
It's kind of one of those things where it's kind of like an all-inclusive resort. It's just a resort that's
right.
moving, and some of the commercials for the ones that have big giant water slides and mm-hmm. other things to do on looks like a lot of fun, and depending on where you're going.
Yeah, not like you're taking a cargo ship and you're riding underneath the ship.
No, we're just stuck in a cargo container waiting for them to let us out. So, I mean, we enjoyed it. I mean, when we did that, but granted, I was like early 20s back in the day. So
Some people love cruising, mm-hmm. and they go all the time. So it's each his own,
yeah, I also enjoyed when we went to an all-inclusive resort down there in Mexico. I thought that was awesome just because I got to do what I wanted to do, which was either sit by the pool or sit by the beach and have people come bring me drinks. So
there you go.
And we were talking about taking a vacation next spring, mm-hmm. and Chrissy's like, well, where would your ideal place to go? And I said, you know, somewhere, the Bahamas, Jamaica. She goes, yep. Good, that's exactly what I was thinking,
like
too.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, for a nice week.
Yep.
And but you have to be careful, like, where you're going,
yep.
you know. But I heard you talk to locals, how they want to braid your hair
and stuff
like that. Now, good luck with mine. You're not going to get far.
You get a nice one on the top of your head. Yes, you know, so you got that going
for
you.
Or the back hair. They can braid my back hair.
Yeah, that's true. If you let that go,
yeah, absolutely.
That'd be fun.
That's a nice look, too.
Boy, they'd be talking about me for a while.
Looks like Shaggy.
Hey, man, you remember that crazy American?
Look like he got shag carpet on his back then. Yeah.
611-701-293-9000. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
This is Ben.
Hi, Ben. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys? Sounds like you're having a blast.
Oh, we usually do.
Nope. I've had a couple week-long trips. One to Mexico, but the best one I've ever had was when I went week-long fishing up at Lake of the Woods.
There you go.
It was probably... Never forget that. I was later in my life, and I'd never been up there, and so I took a week off and went up with some friends, and one of those ones I'll never forget.
Did you stay at one of the lodges, or did somebody have, like, lake property up there you were able to stay at?
We stayed at Spring Steel Lodge, like in one of their little trailer houses there right off the lake.
Yep, and they take you out, and then they guide you, and they clean the fish for you, too?
We did everything ourselves. We just rented the house, and we went out, and we just plopped down in portables and fished all day, and then came back and had fun at night.
Oh, you did ice fishing.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It still is one of the, like, the longest trip for hunting hasn't been a week, so I can't say that was a good one. So,
yeah. Well, good for you. And did you guys catch a lot of fish up there? I've been on Lake of the Woods a couple of times, and yeah, we filled out.
Yeah, it's crazy up there, even in the wintertime.
Mm.
You sit there and you catch, in one house with two people, you're catching 30, 40 fish a day, you know?
Oh, wow.
Good memories, too. All right. Well, always good hearing from you, Ben. You have a fantastic weekend.
Oh, you guys as well.
Yes, thank you. It is 6:13. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:16, coming up 6:56 this morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo and Music Store, built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this group. One of the band members punched another, knocking him out. He got kicked out of the band, but reinstated the following day. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback coming up right around 6:56. Time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
The weekend is here.
It's
the best time of the week. High school volleyball last night in North Dakota. Oak Grove edged out Grand Forks Central in a 5-setter. West Fargo High over Fargo North in a sweep. Shanley Downs Grand Forks Red River in straight sets. Davies over Cheyenne in a 3-set matchup. In Minnesota, DGF over Barnesville. Holly sweeping Park Rapids. Perham Downs Pelican Rapids in straight sets. And Ada Borup West over Lake Park Audubon. Park Christian does fall to Manoam and Wabin in a 5-setter. Minnesota Twins, they shut out the Texas Rangers 4-0 in their rubber match on Thursday afternoon. Byron Buxton, for the second straight day, hit the first pitch of the game out of the ballpark. as he ended up with two home runs, drove in all four runs in the game yesterday. He's up to 34 home runs on the season. Twins 69 and 90 on the season. 3 games left in the year as they head to Philadelphia for a 3-game weekend set against the Phillies to wrap things up. 5:45 first pitch tonight with Joe Ryan, scheduled to get his final start of the season. Minnesota Wild had 2 first-period goals from Marco Rossi in their third preseason game out of the 6 against the Stars last night. They were up 2-0. Everything was good in the neighborhood. They gave up a goal in the second. They're up 2-1. And then the Avalanche came. They fall 5-2 after giving up 4 third-period goals and 5 unanswered in total. They will now host the Chicago Blackhawks Sunday at 5 o'clock. That'll be their 4th of 6 preseason games, officially midway through the preseason. Tonight, you're going to have a couple of WNBA semifinals matchups with number 6-seeded Indiana hosting number 2-seeded Las Vegas at 6:30 on ESPN2. That game is in Indianapolis. Now, that best-of-5 series tied up at a game apiece. And then the top-seeded Minnesota Lynx will head to Phoenix to battle 4-seeded the Mercury. That game will tip off right after the first one wraps up, about 8:30 tonight on ESPN2 in Phoenix. That series also tied up at a game apiece. On Sunday, you're going to have Vikings football as they battle the Pittsburgh Steelers in Dublin, Ireland, an 8:30 a.m. kickoff on NFL Network. Minnesota's 2-1 on the season. Bison are hosting South Dakota for their homecoming at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And on our family of stations here the rest of the week, all the excitement you can muster up. Tonight, right here on WDAY Radio, Moorhead battling Maple Grove in high school football, 6 p.m. kickoff with Larry Knutson on the call. Then on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, Cobber football returns home to Moorhead to battle Gustavus, 1 p.m. kickoff for that game. Over on our sister station, The Flag, a Friday night gridiron battle tonight with number 2-ranked Fargo Davies hosting West Fargo Cheyenne at 7. And then on Saturday, Minnesota State Moorhead the Dragons heads over to Minnesota Duluth to battle the Bulldogs, an 11 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff for that matchup with Jason and I on the call for it as well. And less than 2 hours away from this week's Pick 6, where yes, somebody's going to get an opportunity at we've got some fun games up for you this week. Mm-hmm. And half the valley again, well, actually about 2/3 of the valley is on a bye this week as well. So yeah, we got a little bit of a mixed up when it comes to games, but there's some fun games still.
When are we going to have the picks in by?
11 a.m. tomorrow, I believe. Okay, I believe. Let me check and make sure I have the proper games pulled up here. But I believe it's 11 a.m. because that's when the Gophers and Rutgers kick off. Yes. Yep, okay. 11 a.m. tomorrow.
All right. So we'll be listening. Pick 6, Big Game James McCarty coming up at 8:10 this morning. He's going to serve up the games. You'll have to pick the score of the Vikings game. Get those in by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Winner will get a fine prize. Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North sponsors our Pick 6. Looking forward to that. They are your number one pick for complete foundation repair, egress window installation, and replacement. Jace just put up on our Facebook page, mm-hmm, you're starting a food fight again?
Yep. Our Friday food fight question of the day. Pretty simple one. Coke versus Pepsi. Where do you side on that one? Because I know there's a lot of people that are either one product or the other, and I know that we have a split household in my family here.
Yeah, I guess we do too. Yeah. I mean, I'm an either or type of a person. So
I will drink my Diet Coke when I don't have a Diet Pepsi, but I have a preference. So.
Yeah, put it that way. I have a preference too. It is 6:21, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. This athlete's skateboard just sold for a record-breaking amount. We'll talk about that coming up next. Happy Fri-yay. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. It is 6:24, homecoming weekend for NDSU. It's going to be a beautiful weekend for anything you are doing outdoors. Enjoy the nice weather while it lasts, because we all know we'll be turning the corner. Mm-hmm. Not too distant future here. Steve Carney Outdoors will be joining us coming up at 7:10 this morning. We'll talk about, early duck season. That opened last Saturday.
Wabbit season.
Minnesota bow season also underway. So we'll talk with those things with Steve Carney coming up. Maybe a little fishing too, but that hasn't been very good lately either. Tony Hawk's legendary skateboard just sold for a record-breaking $1.15 million for a skateboard,
mm-hmm,
which probably, I mean, it was a Tony Hawk skateboard, but this one goes back to 1999, so maybe that skateboard was $150, $200 at that time. maybe.
When he bought it?
Yeah.
I mean, he
probably has a nicer one than us average schmucks have. But
I would almost think that to some extent he would have taken maybe some type of custom one or had it customized for his,
I'm sure.
His events and things like that. So.
But you go back to 1999.
Yeah,
it probably wasn't that much money compared to how much you pay nowadays.
Yeah, as far as, well.
For a customized one.
Well, a customized one, that. But, I mean, also the fact that obviously things are more expensive now. But, you know, maybe it wasn't quite as intricate. But, I think my stepson for a while, when he was a teenager, bought a skateboard. And then they replaced the wheels or the bearings or whatever it was and replaced the, I don't even know what you call the brackets where it attaches to the board, to the wheels or whatever. So, I'm sure it was an expensive skateboard to begin with, because if he was using that for, and like I said, the X Games and everything else, but now, you know, if it's in one piece and he used it to, say, win an X Games gold medal or do some fancy trick, I mean, people are going to pay a lot of money for it. And it's a collector's item now.
It certainly is. Tony Hawk used it to land the first ever 900 trick. A 2.5 turn trick. Very few skateboarders even dare try. And he did this at the 1999 San Francisco X Games.
X Games.
The deck. The skateboard. The deck is called the Birdhouse Falcon 2.
Birdhouse Falcon 2.
At the games, after numerous attempts failed, Hawk successfully flipped twice through the air, landed the move, packed crowd roared, announcers screamed on the live broadcast. He was already 31 years old at that time. He had won 73 championships by age 25 and, of course, was a world champ at that point. It's cool. So there was a bunch, I guess, of Tony Hawk stuff that was also auctioned off. There was an autographed Frosted Flakes cereal box, went for $500. Some scraped up knee pads he wore to make history in that 1999 X Games. Those went for $57,000.
Oh, wow.
And the cool thing about this is portion of the proceeds from the auction will benefit the Skate Park Project, which is his nonprofit that helps build skate parks, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Giving kids and adults a place to go hang out and do their thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a small one over there at one of the parks in West Fargo. I mean, it's nothing huge, but it's something for people to use and enjoy either skateboards, or obviously they could probably use their rollerblades on it as well. So, just to be able to have those, sometimes, you know, that's not a priority for community. So if you can get, some type of foundation or fund that would donate money to have those built and get kids into skateboarding, I mean, that's great. I mean, isn't there
gives
a
them
big
something to do? Appeals yeah, to there, different groups.
Isn't there a big one down by the dike downtown?
Yeah, when Logan was little, he and his friend Hudson, I took them there a few times to do skateboarding.
Yeah, so I mean, it's good to have things for kids to do, even if it's, you know, a skate park, if it's just an open field that has been properly maintained so they can either go play soccer or baseball or football or something on it, you know, go run around, burn off some energy, be active, you know. That's always good for the community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is 628, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. I saw the news story, too, last night where they had that devastating flooding where the girls were away at the camp.
Down in Texas?
Yeah, Camp Mystic.
Mm-hmm.
27 people were killed in that flooding.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's still an 8-year-old girl who is still missing.
Yeah.
I guess the owners of the camp are talking about reopening it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I think I saw that yesterday.
The parents of the 8-year-old girl who's still missing, obviously criticizing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody, you know, you never saw that coming. But now that happened and the river came up like that, why would you reopen that or rebuild there?
Well,
without a major flood wall or something.
Well, yeah, that would be my thing, is that number one, you would want the camp rebuilt and reopened. However, would you reconsider where it's located? Now, sometimes you have a camp that is, the location itself is almost very special. Like, I've talked about the church camp we used to go to, where my brother married his wife and then now my niece married her husband at that same chapel, at that same church camp. So if something were to happen, like if there was a real dry season, there was a fire out there in the Black Hills or something that was devastated, you would want to rebuild it. It's a bit tougher in this situation because you had a number of campers and counselors, I'm sure, that perished in it. So
27, yeah, it was so tragic.
It's hard because you would think you would want to rebuild it, and because I believe it was another type of church camp, maybe you want to relocate it and give yourself a fresh start.
Yep.
So I guess I didn't look far enough into the story to see if it's built on the same location, because
they're talking about reopening next summer.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
I mean, I know it was a freak thing, too, when that Guadalupe River spilled over, but still, we'll see where that goes, but that's what they're talking about. I know the parents spoke out to ABC News, and we'll see if the campground owners stick with the plan or they decide that, that's probably not the right thing to do. It is 6:30. 6:33, the weekend's upon us. Lots of football games and other activities going on, including Oktoberfest there in Hankinson. What's the weather going to be like? Kind of what we've been seeing all week, Dino.
Beautiful is what the weather is going to be like. Although we haven't dealt with much wind this week, we are going to be dealing with a little breezier conditions over the weekend. That's the only difference.
Like, yesterday had a little bit of a breeze, so breezier than that?
Yeah, a little breezier than that over the weekend. Yeah, I don't want to call it windy, but definitely like a 10 to 25 range.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So we're looking at clear skies this morning, and it is cool. We've got 30s, upper 30s, Hillsboro, Mayville, Galesburg. Everybody else in the 40s, low to mid 40s. A little warmer in Lakes Country, where temperatures are in the upper 40s. So we're looking at sunny and breezy conditions today. 79 with a south-southeast wind, about 10 to 25. Tonight, clear skies back into the 40s. And then Saturday, breezy northwest winds. And a little bit cooler, about 74 tomorrow. Still nice for homecoming. A northwest wind, about 10 to 25. And then as we head into Sunday, we're looking at breezy south winds and temps close to 80. Next week, mid to upper 80s on Monday. I've got to check. I think the record is in the low 90s on Monday, but we're not going to be far away from that with breezy conditions to end the month and temps in the 80s all the way through Wednesday of next week, even Thursday. Wednesday and Thursday, we'll start to see a chance for scattered showers and thunder showers in the area. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. And then we cool down after a cold front passes late next week. Cool down into the upper 60s to low 70s.
That's lovely.
Which is still above normal for this time of the year. So all in all, a really nice forecast to end the month of September. And again, October starts next week. And even October is going to start on a warm note. But towards the middle of October, if our long-range models are close to correct, which they probably aren't, not this far out. But what we look for are signals or signs. We're not looking for precise forecasts 2 weeks out, but we're looking for trends, and our models are trending towards stormier conditions in the Rockies towards the middle of October, which is not unheard of. And that's what we want to see is, again, the new LRC cycle starts right around October 6th, and we want to see what, you know, we don't want these storm systems racing across southern Canada during the month of October. We want to see these storms diving into the Rockies and then swinging out into the plains if we want some, you know, stormy conditions this upcoming winter. Because the last two winters, let's be honest, they haven't been true Fargo or Northern Plains winters.
Those that love winter outdoor activities, snowmobiling, skiing,
exactly,
ice fishing.
We want the snow and cold.
Those who shovel snow or push snow for a living, they want snow.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
well, we were spoiled the last 2 years. I guarantee. I'm not into your forecasting business, but I guarantee it's not going to be. We were lucky.
Oh, so you guarantee that this winter
it's
won't
be
like?
No, it can't. We can't go three in a row like
Why
that.
Not? Why not?
I don't know.
You never know. Okay, I'm going to give you a little trivia or quiz. We're going to quiz your knowledge. How's that? It's a good 10 degrees warmer in Lakes Country this morning than it is, let's say, in Mayville.
Okay.
How come? What would be the reason that it's warmer in Lakes Country right now? We're all under the same air mass, okay? We're all under the same air mass, but it's a good 10 degrees warmer in Lakes Country than it is, here in the valley, in parts of the valley.
Do they have fog again up there? Like
nope.
In the Mayville?
We're all under the same weather conditions. We all have clear skies and light winds.
Okay, same cloud cover.
Skies, light winds, but here in the valley, we're a little bit cooler with temperatures in the 30s, and in Lakes Country, it's a good 10 plus degrees warmer.
Is everything to do with the lakes themselves? That's what I thought.
So the warm lake water, we're sitting in a valley here.
Yeah.
So the cold air tends to drain into a valley,
yeah.
Whether it's here or elsewhere.
Yeah.
And so it's the elevation and lakes. Basically, the warm temperature of the lake waters is keeping Lakes Country a little bit warmer this morning as the cool air kind of settles down into the valley.
Huh, interesting.
Interesting.
So you learn something new this
every
morning.
Once in a while you do.
Every once in a while I'll make you a little bit smarter.
Yep.
But many times I'll make you a lot dumber.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
So there we go.
It's how much, it depends on how much effort you put in.
Exactly.
6:38, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network and Big Game. James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:43 on a Friday. Big Game James McCarty here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Wild officially midway through their preseason slate as they were up 2-0 thanks to two Marco Rossi goals last night after the first period, and then they would proceed to give up 5 unanswered goals. They fall to the Stars 5-2. They will now welcome the Chicago Blackhawks to St. Paul on Sunday at 5 o'clock for preseason game 4 of 6. The Minnesota Twins would take their rubber match over the Texas Rangers 4-0 yesterday afternoon. That was 2 home runs and 4 RBI for Byron Buxton, the only guy to drive in a run in that game. Twins off to Philadelphia for a 3-game set to round out the 25th season as they have first pitch tonight at 5:45. Joe Ryan slated to get his final start of the season. WNBA semifinals tonight, the Indiana Fever hosting the Las Vegas Aces at 6:30 on ESPN2. That best-of-5 series tied up at a game apiece. Following that one up is the Minnesota Lynx heading to Phoenix to take on the Mercury. 8:30 tip-off on ESPN2 as well, with that series also tied up at a game apiece. High school volleyball last night in North Dakota. Oak Grove edged out Grand Forks Central in 5 sets. West Fargo High over Fargo North. Shanley sweeps Red River. Fargo Davies takes down Cheyenne in straight sets. In Minnesota, Dilworth, Glendon, Felton sweeping Barnesville. Holly over Park Rapids in 3 sets. Perham downing Pelican Rapids in straight sets. Ada Borup West over Lake Park Audubon in a 3-setter. And Park Christian falling to Manoman Wobbin in a 5-set matchup. This weekend, Bison football has their homecoming as they host South Dakota on Saturday at 1 p.m. Vikings are in Dublin, Ireland, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday at 8:30 on NFL Network. And on our family of stations here the rest of the week, here on WDAY Radio tonight, Moorhead Spud football hosting Maple Grove at 6 p.m. with Larry Knutson on the play-by-play call. Then on Saturday afternoon, Concordia Cobber football returns home to Moorhead to host Gustavus at 1 p.m. Over on our sister station, The Flag, we have high school football under the Friday night lights as well, with number 2-ranked Fargo Davies battling West Fargo Cheyenne. That's a 7 p.m. kickoff with Jason and I on the call for that matchup. And then on Saturday, Minnesota State Moorhead, the Dragons, head to Minnesota Duluth to take on the 16th-ranked Bulldogs with an 11 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff here on Saturday over on our sister station, The Flag. Sports This Hour brought to you by Prairie Supply. Contact the concrete experts at Prairie Supply, the contractor's headquarters. For more info, go to prairiesupply.com.
And don't forget, pick 6 coming up at 8:10 this morning. James will have 6 games he's serving up. You'll also have to pick the score of the Viking game. Whoever gets the most picks right wins a great prize, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ram Jack North, and you can find our pick 6 at WDAYRadioNow.com. It's not open yet. You have to wait until 8:10 when James is back on the air with that. And those picks will need to be in by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. As we mentioned, it is homecoming for NDSU. They've got the big parade. That's tonight. A lot of people look forward to that every year. It will tie up some traffic, though. So a traffic note for you beginning at 4 this afternoon. Expect road closures in preparation for the homecoming parade. The parade starts at 6 o'clock. It will begin in the Fargo Dome parking lot, head south on University, then west to 12th Avenue North, and end in the T parking lot. To ensure that your safety, University Drive and 12th Avenue North will be blocked off to traffic beginning at 4 o'clock this afternoon and will remain closed until the completion of the parade. Lots of candy to be had, too.
Yeah.
The kiddos love the parades, don't they? All right, Steve Carney Outdoors will also be joining us this morning. He joins us Friday mornings right around 7:10. We'll be talking about duck decoy placement for the early duck season. A season opened last weekend. Minnesota bow season is underway as well, so we'll get some pointers for him, too. And don't forget, Hunter Chef Jeff Benda will be rejoining us coming up on Thursdays. not next week, but the week after. I think October 9th will be his first week. Yeah, because we have Mr. Kinsler next
week. Yeah, that's
right.
We do.
So October 9th, Hunter Chef Jeff Bendo will be joining us, I don't know, for like about 6 weeks to get up to Thanksgiving time.
Well, but in that big, real big time of hunting, et cetera, and obviously he is an expert at preparing wild game and fish. So it's always interesting to have him talk about, obviously, the places he's gone, the type of things he's either created or put on his website. So just usually a really good conversation with him.
It is. We love chatting with him. All right. It was on this date in entertainment history. This singer started a charitable foundation to help victims of natural disasters. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback. Coming up around 6:56, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
Don't forget to chime in on our Bonnie and Friends Friday food fight. Coke versus Pepsi, what say you? It was on this date back in 87. This singer started a six-week run at number one on the U.S. album charts. It was the song was released about 5 years after his previous album. We'll find out who that was. And what songs were included on Flatland Music Flashback coming up next.
Time for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
1964, Roy Orbison started a three-week run at number one with Oh Pretty Woman. The title was inspired by his wife, Claudette, interrupting a conversation to announce she was going out.
When Orbison asked if she needed money, his co-worker, Bill Dees, said, "A pretty woman never needs any money."
Mm-hmm. 1965. At the end of a European tour, Roger Daltrey punched Keith Moon, knocking him out, and got kicked out of the Who. The band was playing two shows in one night in Denmark when an argument broke out between all four band members.
Yeah, it happened after Daltrey flushed Moon's drug stash down the toilet. Daltrey apologized and was reinstated the following day.
Crisis averted.
Yeah.
I don't know what that word's supposed to mean or how you spell it. 1987, Michael Jackson started a six-week run at number one in the U.S. album chart with Bad, released nearly 5 years after Jackson's previous studio album, Thriller. Bad went on to become the world's best-selling album.
Yeah, having sold between 30 and 45 million copies worldwide, the album produced 5 number one hits. It was the first album to do so.
In 2003, English singer, songwriter, and also member of The Power Station, I just want to point that out there, I love The Power Station, Robert Palmer, he passed away of a heart attack in his Paris hotel room. He was just 54 years old.
Yeah, he had a number one hit with Addicted to Love in 1986, Simply Irresistible topped the charts. In 1988, Palmer had several other hits and won many awards, including 2 Grammys.
I would love that.
I like this song.
I know, but I always love it when the guy goes in the background goes, "Shakira, Shakira." I think we know it's Shakira, but all right, whatever. In 2007, a charitable foundation set up by Shakira donated $40 million to help victims of natural disasters. The money would go towards repairing damage caused by an earthquake in Peru and a hurricane in Nicaragua.
Another $5 million would be spent on health and education in 4 Latin American countries.
You know what? And the hips don't lie.
They don't.
Never do. This guy singing sounds like, I'm trying to think of the other band. Having a birthday today, English singer and songwriter Brian Ferry of the band Roxy Music is 80. Love is the Drug hit number 30 on the Billboard charts in 1976. Ferry is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He sure is. If you're having a birthday today or any day this weekend, happy birthday to you too. Steve Carney, Steve Carney Outdoors, joining us in about 10 minutes. It is 7 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 7:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Mysaki is here with a check on our weekend forecast.
Yeah, we've got a nice weekend ahead. And, you know, I'm feeling, it's Friday, it's nice out. You want to give some stuff away?
What are you giving away?
Well, you got to answer this question. So here's a little trivia question for you. We're going to be near record warm temperatures on Monday, okay? What is the record high currently? What's the record high for Monday? And in what year? If you can let me know that. Now, you've got 5 minutes while we're doing weather here, 701-293-9000. What's the record high on Monday, and what year was it set?
September 29th.
September, is that Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would be it then.
Just trying to help you out here a little bit.
It's not hard to find. You can find it. You can find it if you know how to Google search.
Yeah, the Google machine's
working. We'll give you one of our Darter plastic rain gauges.
Big prize.
Yeah.
701-293-9000.
But you have to, if you, You got to report to us what the rainfall or snowfall totals are, rainfall totals specifically, so we can pass that along to the weather service. So what's the record high on Monday, and what year was it set? Because we're going to be close to it as we head into Monday. But today we're looking at a beautiful start to the day with temperatures in the 40s, even a few 30s still hanging on. Hillsboro, Mayville, Galesburg, everybody else in the 40s. No frost, but we're looking at upper 30s. And we'll warm up into the upper 70s today with breezy conditions. South-southeast winds 10 to 25. Clear skies tonight down into the mid to upper 40s. And the weekend looks great. We've got homecoming on Saturday. That looks nice. Sunny skies. West-northwest winds about 5 to 15, so not too bad. And then Sunday, after low to mid-70s on Saturday, we're looking at temperatures on Sunday right around 80 with breezy conditions out of the south. And then Monday, 87 I'm forecasting right now. That's close to a record. And then breezy conditions Monday and Tuesday, and we'll stay in the 80s for Tuesday through Wednesday with a chance for showers and storms Wednesday and Thursday.
All right, Dean's weather brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. We've got somebody on the line. Do you know the answer to Dean's trivia question?
I think I do.
What do you have?
Is it 88 degrees in 2024?
It was just last year.
Hey,
wow.
Good
All right.
Job.
Hey.
Well, look at that.
And who do we have on the line?
Jim.
I'm you knew where to look.
Yep.
What's your first initial of your last name, Jim?
B.
B. Okay, and I've got your phone number written down too. So, you know where our studios are next to Thunder Road?
Yep.
Okay, we'll
Congrats, Jim.
We'll have a rain gauge there for you. You can pick it up anytime between 8 and 4:30 Monday through Friday.
Okay, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for listening, too. Yeah. That was fast.
Well, when I looked at that, we must have short-term memory or short-term memory loss. It's one or the other. I don't remember being this hot at the end of September last year.
My brain always moves forward, so
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Jim.
Yeah, nice work. All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
706 National News from ABC coming up. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. And then Steve Carney Outdoors joins us. 710, Steve Carney Outdoors joining us in just a bit here. First of all, a quick check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Minnesota Wild fall to the Dallas Stars in preseason game 3 of 6 yesterday evening by a score of 5-2. They're up 2-0 before giving up 5 unanswered goals. The Minnesota Twins shut out the Texas Rangers in their rubber match 4-0. They head to Philly for a 3-game series beginning tonight at 5:45 to round out the 2025 season. WNBA semifinals best-of-5 series this evening at 6:30, Indiana hosting Las Vegas on ESPN2. That series set up at a game apiece, and then the Lynx will head to Phoenix to battle the Mercury at 8:30 on ESPN2. That series also tied up at a game apiece. On our family of stations here the rest of the weekend, we have Moorhead Spud football tonight hosting Maple Grove at 6 p.m., and then on Saturday, Cobber football returning to Moorhead to battle Gustavus at 1 p.m. Larry Knutson on the call for both of those matchups. Our sister station, The Flag, will feature Fargo Davies in high school football hosting West Fargo Cheyenne at 7 o'clock tonight, and then Minnesota State Moorhead Dragon football at Minnesota Duluth on Saturday, an 11 a.m. pregame with a noon kickoff. Jason and I on the call for both of those. Sports this hour brought to you by Sun Electric, serving the 5-state region like no one else can. That's Sun Electric. Have an electrical problem? They have the power to solve it online at sunelectricnd.com.
Jason started a food fight on our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page, Coke or Pepsi. You want to weigh in on it? Drop your comments on our Facebook page. 7-Eleven, Steve Carney. Steve Carney Outdoors joining us now on Bonnie and Friends. He's brought to you by AutoFix and OtterTail. Find out more at AutoFixRepairs.com. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, you guys. I hope my trolling motor isn't interfering.
You're back on the water because it's not exactly the best weather for hunting right now. Not cold enough.
No, it's been tough on the bow stand. I'm not really seeing a lot. They're not moving. It's, you know, it's 75, 85 degrees. And, you know, mosquitoes aren't too bad. It's a nice sit, but, they're not moving much. But typical for, you know, this time of the year. But it's just going to get better. It'll get better.
Yeah. I know my brother-in-law up in northeastern Minnesota, and then I've got a nephew who hunts in central Minnesota. Both of them actually did have success already here with the bow hunts. So, but we've got plenty of time with the bow hunt season.
Oh, yeah, we do. And We got ducks, you know, tomorrow morning. Waterfowl season opens tomorrow. Everybody's all pumped up about that. You know, it's such a great time of the year. You can fish in the morning, bow hunt in the evening, duck hunt. I mean, it's a great time of the year.
But with the duck hunt opening, I mean, with the weather as nice as it is, mid-70s, 80-ish, is it even worth your time to go out this coming weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, opening day is always, you know, pretty good for the most part. You know, a lot of teal and wood ducks around, and then, you know, it kind of slows down and you wait for some migrants. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's a tradition, too. It's a family thing, and, you know, it's a really a big deal on the opener. So looking forward to it. I think it's going to be just about right for conditions, not a lot of wind, but I think it's going to be fine. I was going to just mention one tip on the duck decoys. I take all my drakes out of my decoys and use just hens. And the reason I do that is because these ducks are not colored yet. And nothing looks, you know, more phony than really shiny decoys. At this time of the year, just go with the darker ones and you'll have a lot better success.
Oh, so the duck, they pick up on that too, the coloring?
Oh, yeah. If you throw some, you know, really nice mature greenheads out there, it's not going to look right because, you know, they're not green yet. They're not mature. So I just go with the brown ducks, mix some teal in there, make sure you mix some sizes in there. You don't want all the same size. You want to use some smaller ones, some larger ones, and kind of mix it up a little bit.
Is there a right way or a wrong way to put those decoys out there?
You know, people get really obsessive about that. It's like, you know, they think they have to do it in a certain way, and you really don't. It's just if there's ducks there, you're going to bag them. If there's no ducks there, you won't. It doesn't matter how fancy your spread is. And, you know, you can kind of overthink it, you know, if that makes sense. Just overthink it, which people do. You know, they want to make, you know, little, you know, V's, or they make little horseshoe setups, and, you know, you don't have to do that. It's just get your decoys out, and, you know, again, if the ducks are there, you'll get them.
Yeah, and keep safety top of mind, whether you're going out in the field, you're hunting birds, you're hunting deer, you're after ducks. Make sure you're safe out there. Life jacket, I would imagine, if you're doing duck hunting?
Well, yeah, especially in the dark, Monty. When you're going out there, it's, you know, you can't see real well, and it's, you know, tough conditions out there. It could be windy. It could be dangerous. You've got to have a life jacket on when you're duck hunting at this time of year. You just have to. And the water's cold. You don't want to end up in there.
So is this kind of the time of year when maybe you spend a little bit of time on water, then you switch over to the bow hunt, or you do the ducks? Or, I mean, if you have to pick, what are you doing this weekend with the warmer weather?
Well, the fishing has really been really good this week, and so I'm, you know, trying to do a little bit of everything. And, you know, there's not a lot of people on the water right now, so you got a lot of room to yourself, and that's pretty nice. But, you know, fishing is just going to get better, too, and that's what's nice about October. The ducks are flying, the deer are moving, fish are biting. I mean, it's just such a great time of the year.
Yeah. Any other tips you have for, I guess, success out there for the duck hunt?
Well, you know, scouting is really important. And, you know, people who are out this weekend hopefully will have, you know, done some scouting and found areas with ducks. And you're going to have some competition on the opener. There could be other people there. And, you know, it's just the way it is. So scouting is important. And, you know, the water levels are really low. And there might be quite a few potholes and, you know, sloughs that you fished or if you've hunted in the past that, you know, don't have any water. So, you know, scouting is very important, especially, you know, at least a day or two ahead, really, more importantly.
Yeah, and I think you said last week, too, water levels definitely are down this year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we've had pretty good rain there for a while, but everything is very, very low. So something to think about. You might be walking through a lot more mud than you think.
Ah, yeah.
That's okay. We love that. We love that.
You just hose off your hip waders or boots before you go in the house, right? Or leave them outside to dry up a little bit.
Yep, and another important tip is to make sure you put a belt on your waders, because if you go in, you're going to fill up with water. So you want to make sure you got a belt around your waist to kind of keep it tight. And that makes a big difference.
Do you duck hunt solo? Is that advised, or should you always kind of have the buddy system going on?
Kind of a little of both. You know, I like the serenity of, you know, hunting by myself, and, you know, I enjoy that. But it's fun to have a buddy. And, you know, when you get older like me, it pays to have a wingman.
Yeah. Well,
you got to have somebody call 911, you know.
And those decoys, I know they're not overly heavy, but it depends on how many you have. I mean, hauling those out in your canoe or boat or whatever you happen to be using, that takes some strength, too.
Well, you know, people tend to overload a lot of these duck boats. And you see them out there with a dog, two guys, all kinds of decoys, and they almost have no freeboard left. And, you know, they're just overloading those boats. And that's, you know, why we have so many problems with, you know, duck hunters dying, is they just, you know, overload it, too heavy. So got to be very careful that way, too, especially if you have a small John boat that doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, angle to it, and, you know, it can be rough in those things. So you just got to use common sense, you know. Common sense is very important.
Yeah, and like I said, put those life jackets on, too. All right, before we let you go, too, any final tips on those that are out bow hunting?
Be patient. It looks like, you know, these deer are hitting the acorns more than anything else. We have such an incredible acorn crop that they're really not in the crops. They are in the woods, and that's a good thing. So if you can find a good area with acorns, that's where you want to be, because they're just everywhere. I've never seen so many. You know, and the flip side is that there's going to be so many opportunities, you know, for deer to have acorns everywhere. You really don't know where, you know, which acorn area they're on. You know, then take some scouting and some patience. But the good news, there's no mosquitoes. I'm so happy about that.
I would bring bug spray along just in case, because you hate to get out there unprepared because Steve's not seeing mosquitoes and all of a sudden you get eaten alive, right? Have it with you just in case.
So far, so good, buddy. So far, so good.
Good deal. Well, we'll let you go. Hopefully you'll get some walleyes today or get some fish in the bucket there. But we'll catch you again next Friday, okay?
Hey, sounds great. Take care of you guys.
You bet. Steve Carney, Steve Carney Outdoors. He's brought to you by Auto Fix and Otter Tail. Find out more at autofixrepairs.com. And good luck to all of you who out there, whatever type of season you are hunting, whether it's on the North Dakota or Minnesota side, good luck to you and stay safe out there. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel is going to be joining us next. She'll talk about online therapy tools for farmers.
7:21, we head out to the farm to talk with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. How are you doing this morning, Bridget?
Fabulous. How are you?
I am fine. It looks as though there are some online therapy tools available for farmers. Now, is this something unique to the farming community, or is this one of the ones that we've been kind of hearing about lately where you have an app or whatever that you can kind of schedule and find a therapist that works for you?
A little bit different than that. So this was a project that was done with the clinical psychology program at the University of Regina in Canada. And the gal who's running it, she's actually a master's student in clinical psychology, and she was helping to develop an online therapy tool for farmers that were looking for help with mental health, and honestly thought that this 5-lesson, 8-week course with do-it-yourself guides, etc., would have about a 25% dropout rate from farmers that take the course. But what she found was, surprisingly, farmers had a great interest in it, and there was an 82% completion rate. She was very happy to see. Yeah. Farmers were 90% of the farmers downloaded all 20 guides from the course, and their response to it was they felt like they were speaking with a peer or friends. They felt the program understood them, and they felt it was engaging in the coursework and gave them some confidence and improved their overall view of seeking help when needed. So they became much more comfortable talking to a therapist. And the only limitation they found was broadband access, which I understand. Sometimes you got to park in a pickup on the top of a hill in your pasture to get some good service.
Yeah.
And reasons they wanted to do this. Well, first of all, here in the U.S., we realized that about 65% of the counties do not have a practicing psychiatrist. 81% of rural counties don't have a psychiatric nurse practitioner available if there is a mental health crisis. Also, it's not necessarily just farmers. We think of the most at-risk group being white male farmers aged 35 to 65, but this recent study by the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign has found that when it comes to farmer suicide studies, they've recognized older men and women with rural backgrounds are more likely to die by suicide if they have health problems. At the same time, younger men were more likely to take their own life if they were experiencing relationship problems.
Oh.
so unfortunate statistics that are out there. But what a great sign when we see farmers completing that online therapy tool and saying, you know, this really did help me. I'm glad I did it.
Well, absolutely. Question, though, when we talk about the major causes for the older farmers compared to the younger farmers, mm-hmm. is there a group that is more prone to take their own life when they're experiencing financial problems? Because obviously that is a huge component in the ag community, because here you are, you're working for yourself. You're not working at a company and you're just able to cash out a paycheck each pay period. So, I mean, is that a huge, I mean, I would assume that's a huge factor, but it's interesting to find out that the younger male farmers were relationship issues and the older farmers were due to health concerns.
You know, there isn't any information listed specific to economics,
mm-hmm.
but I feel this is just a gut reaction. I feel that's very universal.
Yeah.
When you think about the dollars and cents that go along with farming, the concerns they have right now with a lack of cash flow, with, you know, as I read a tweet from a farmer I've interviewed before down in Texas, he said, I'm one major repair bill away from making no money on my farm this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a bit universal with the stresses that they are seeing. Weather certainly is a factor, commodity prices, animal health, changes in family dynamics, government regulations. There's so many things that mm-hmm. can be affecting a farmer's incomes and outcomes right along with it. Mm-hmm. To the city of Barnesville, Minnesota, congratulations on receiving a $10,000 donation from ACH Seeds called the Homegrown Giving Program, which supports local families. ACH Seeds, which we know provides sugar beet seed for the regional farmers who are raising sugar beets, and they have launched this program in 2022 called Homegrown Giving. And they've given away $180,000 to more than 18 organizations all across the U.S. Minnesota's recipient, Barnesville, is going to be able to take that $10,000 and they're going to be using it in their Barnesville area food pantry. They serve more than 450 households through the food shelf, also a school backpack program and a summer lunch program.
Wow,
and
that's
so they're
awesome.
I think this is fantastic. They're going to use this money to continue to sustain those critical programs and maybe help expand some services throughout the year.
Very nice.
You know, when you look at Barnesville, close to the Fargo-Moorhead area, in 2024 alone, that food pantry distributed nearly 30,000 pounds of food to over 1,000 individuals and served 2,200 lunches to children during the summer.
Mm.
So that's excellent. Glad to see that they are able to continue on with that program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, EPA has announced that they are going to continue working with a program called Feed It Onward. So interesting enough, what this is, a new national initiative designed to reduce food waste, but also strengthen food security. So this was shown at a demonstration, if you will, in Illinois at Scott Air Force Base. And they worked with representatives from Fry Farms, who brought a truckload of fresh produce. It didn't get sent to a landfill, but instead it was used to feed and support military families. Now, I'm not saying that this was expired or rotted or anything like that. What often happens is when you have fresh, especially produce, and let's think about something like potatoes, they're graded. If they have blemishes and so forth, people like to buy pretty food. You've heard me say that before.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that gets skipped, gets thrown into the discard pile when it's still perfectly edible. Perhaps it has a slight discoloration in the case of some fruits and vegetables. And perhaps it missed a size grade. Maybe it was too small for a processor or too large to fit the standard grading. And so it got kicked out for that reason. But again, still perfectly edible, mm-hmm. especially for household use. And so the EPA really wants to focus on eliminating food waste. They show through a recent report called Estimating the Cost of Food Waste to Consumers. It shows individual consumers lose $728 annually to food waste. That's the equivalent of $14 every week that gets tossed out.
Mm.
So in that consideration, they want to make sure that food donors are connected with communities in need and reducing the environmental impact on food waste in landfills. Because actually, methane released into the environment, one of the greatest causes of that, is food waste in landfills. So here's a way to knock out two things at once.
There you go.
Yeah, excellent little idea. We'll see if that gets closer to home for us. We don't necessarily have quite the same things when we talk about fresh foods that are raised in other states, but let's see what it can do for everybody.
Sure.
Excited to watch. Well, a food that you don't hear about, or even an ingredient that you don't hear very often, is chia. Today on Weather and Ag in Focus at 1 o'clock, I'm going to visit with Chris Coomer from Heartland Chia Seeds down in Kentucky and Vince Eberhardt. He's from South Dakota. He raises chia seeds and sells them to Heartland Seeds. And where do those seeds go? How do we raise them? How do you combine it? We'll have a talk about that. The whole time, though, the theme song from that commercial, Chia, is going to play in my head.
Let me tell you, as somebody who's been eating chia seeds on and off, I bet over 12, 15 years, they do fill you up.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Good to know.
And they're good for you, too.
And we're going to continue to find out more about just, you know, can we access them closer? How do we? My biggest questions are, how do we combine them? They're so small and tiny.
They are, yeah.
How do we, you know, do you have to tape your combine shut so you don't lose anything?
Well, what do you do when you harvest flax seeds?
Flax is a little bit bigger, actually.
I know, but I mean, it's similar. Still, it's similar in a sense, though, that it's small little
seed. It's very
small.
Yeah. Canola the same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think you have a leak, that seed will find it, and you will need to get out your duct tape and get after it pretty fast.
Yeah, no, it'll be an interesting conversation. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So tune in then. Meanwhile, send me questions, ag@flagfamily.com.
All right. Have a great weekend, Bridget.
You too. Thanks.
You bet. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. It is 7:30. Sun's up. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki with a check on our continued beautiful forecast.
Yeah, sun's out, guns out, man.
Yeah, baby.
And it's Friday, and it's going to be sunny out there. A beautiful, beautiful way to end the week today. We're going to have a high in the upper 70s today. Now, we're currently in the upper 30s to mid 40s across much of the area. And 79 we're calling for today with south-southeast winds. A little breezy, about 10 to 25. Clear skies tonight down into the mid to upper 40s. Winds turn to the northwest. And then west-northwest winds about 5 to 15 on Saturday with plenty of sun and highs in the low to mid 70s. So a beautiful day for homecoming. And then Sunday, sunshine, breezy, south winds, and highs around 80. We'll be near record territory on Monday, mid to upper 80s on Monday. And then we're staying in the 80s Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. We'll have a chance for showers and storms coming in Wednesday and Thursday of next week. And then it looks like another chance possibly the following weekend. So enjoy this weekend because that first weekend of October could be a little wet. We'll wait and see how that pans out. But a beautiful, beautiful weekend. I believe the Vikings play, what, 8 in the morning or something on Saturday?
8:30.
Sunday. Boy, Sunday, 8:30.
There's going to be a lot of hungover people on Sunday, I bet, because that's an early start. We got Vikings, and we got homecoming after that on Saturday.
No. Vikings are Sunday.
No, Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. I'm sorry.
So you'll be hungover Monday.
You think the NFL is just changing?
I thought for some reason they were playing on Saturday. Okay.
No, they're still playing on
Sunday. It's Sunday morning.
Yeah. Get your days straight, would you?
Sorry, weekends.
There still might be some hungover people watching the Vikings game.
On Sunday morning from tailgating on Saturday. Yeah.
And then their head's going to hurt at work and they're not going to be real productive on Monday.
Yeah, so we'll see who calls in sick here on Monday.
There you go.
James.
Jimmy knows how to behave.
James will make it in. Don't worry about that. Thank you, Dino. Weather's brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated since 1979 with three convenient Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. This week's Friday Food Fight, I got it up just a little bit late because that's me. But we had a number of people weigh in so far. And right now it is pretty much split 50-50 as far as which do you prefer, Coke or Pepsi. Some of our responders, we got Sophia on the Pepsi side, if I can get all the comments to show up. Mike, you're just like Crash. So Crash said root beer. So then I asked Crash which root beer, A&W, Mug, Berg, or Bargs, excuse me. He said A&W Zero. So there's that. Mike said Mountain Dew. So thank you, Rick, Barbara, Linda, Doug. All said Coke. Mark and Gail said Pepsi. I'm a team Pepsi. I believe you are too, aren't you, Bonnie?
Yeah. If I'm gonna buy like bottles, it'll be a mini baby Diet Pepsis, but I don't.
Or if it's a bigger normal size bottle, she'll just open it up and let it sit for 2 days before she drinks it.
2 weeks to drink a big bottle of it. The baby bottles take me 3 or 4 days.
Then you don't really enjoy the soda.
But like if it's fountain and you get Diet Coke or whatever, it's fine. I just don't prefer. I drink Diet Pop. I don't prefer the taste of Diet Coke, and something about Diet Coke kind of upsets my tummy. So if I'm going to have a pop, which is pretty rare for me, it's going to be Diet Pepsi.
Well, and I think the I can't remember what it was, what the basis of the flavor palette for Coke versus Pepsi is. You would think, in my mind, Pepsi always seemed like it had more of a, maybe it might say more of a vanilla taste in it, but it's not. It doesn't have that flavor palette. My wife is on Team Coke, but she normally is a Coke Zero versus a Diet Coke, where I tend, for whatever reason, to go towards Diet Coke, and I think it's a flavor thing. I've always kind of associated my soda preference to diet sodas, and just because I don't really want that the extra calories. And now I know they have Pepsi Zero, Coke Zero, etc.
But Coke Zero, I don't mind that at all.
Yeah,
do they still have? Remember RC Cola? Is that still made?
Yes, I believe it is.
I like that back in the day, but I always feel like I had to shave my teeth after I was done drinking it.
A lot of times at home now, if I actually have soda, I've got a Soda Stream machine, and I've got the Pepsi Zero sugar flavor. But a lot of times, I do the. Diet Sam's Choice, just because it's about half the price of the major brands. And I would love to go back to drinking Diet Pepsi, but, I mean, for now, for a 12-pack, it costs what a case used to cost.
I drink very little.
I'm not going to spend $8 on a 12-pack. Yeah. That's ridiculous pricing.
Gotten ridiculous in price. 7:38, we're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports, and Dino's back with your 3-degree guarantee. 7:41, Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports.
Yesterday afternoon, the Minnesota Twins shut out the Texas Rangers in their series rubber match 4-0 thanks to 2 home runs and 4 RBI from Byron Buxton, who now has back-to-back games with a leadoff home run along with 34 home runs on the season. Twins have their final 3 games set of the 2025 season when they head to Philly to battle the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. 5:45 is first pitch. Joe Ryan scheduled to get his final start of the season for Minnesota. Marco Rossi from the Minnesota Wild, he scored 2 goals in their 3rd preseason game in the first period against the Dallas Stars last night, and they would give up 5 goals after that consecutively, so they fall 5-2. They'll have their 4th of 6 preseason matchups against the Chicago Blackhawks Sunday at 5 p.m. as they are midway through the preseason now. High school volleyball last night in North Dakota. You had Oak Grove edge out Grand Forks Central in 5 sets. West Fargo High sweeping Fargo North. Shanley over Red River in straight sets. And Davies defeats Cheyenne in a 3-setter. In Minnesota, Dilworth Glendon Felton over Barnesville in a sweep. Holly takes down Park Rapids in straight sets. A 3-set victory for Perham over Pelican Rapids. Ida Borup West over Lake Park Audubon in 3 sets. And Park Christian falling to Manoman Wobbin in a 5-setter. The Bison will be hosting South Dakota for homecoming on Saturday at 1 p.m. with the Vikings heading to Dublin to take on the Steelers at 8:30 in the morning on Sunday on NFL Network. WNBA postseason has the best of 5 series semifinals. Game number 3 for both series tonight, 6:30 on ESPN2 in Indianapolis. The Fever host the Aces. And then at 8:30, the Mercury will host the Lynx in Phoenix on ESPN2. Both of those best of 5 series are tied up at a game apiece. On our family of stations here the rest of the week, tonight at 6 p.m., Moorhead Spud football hosting Maple Grove, and then Cobber football hosting Gustavus at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Larry Knutson on the call for both of those matchups as we look over to our sister station, the Flag. High school football tonight, Fargo Davies hosting West Fargo Cheyenne at 7 p.m., and then Minnesota State Moorhead, the Dragons, head to Minnesota Duluth to battle the 16th-ranked Bulldogs with an 11 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff on Saturday afternoon. Sports This Hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best-priced leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
7:43, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki with your 3-degree guarantee straight ahead. 7:46, time now for your 3-degree guarantee. It is brought to you by the Window and Door Store. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here.
All right, so we forecasted 76 yesterday. Remember, that was a spirit. We only made it to 74, but that does fall within the 3 degrees.
Yeah. It was nice out, though.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day out there. Today, it's going to be a breezy 79 today. No, I couldn't go 80. Just couldn't do it. We're going to go 79 with a south-southeast wind 10 to 25, and then 70s on Saturday and right around 80 on Sunday. A beautiful, beautiful weekend coming our way. So get out and enjoy it. We don't have, remember last weekend was kind of, a little rainy, especially Saturday. This weekend, much better. Homecoming, beautiful weather for that. If you're going out golfing, maybe tidying up the yard, getting ready for that dreaded W word. Just come around the corner. So beautiful weekend. Enjoy it. Today, though, another beauty was 79 for the high.
All right. Thank you, Dino. And that is your 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
He's on a little roll again, isn't he? Nine in a row, or did I miss something?
No, we're at nine. If he gets today right, that'd be 10.
He's about a third of the way towards his record.
Almost. Got to stay consistent.
Yeah.
Can't have those vacation days come up because then he just mails
then
it in.
Then he blows it. That's true.
Pretty much.
7:48, some new words added to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. We will talk about that coming up next. Beautiful sunny start to today, and it's going to continue that way. Again, Dino calling for a high right around 79. Got some new words added to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. One of them I had to Google because I wasn't sure what
it is.
You're
not a kid, so you don't know what it means.
Well, WFH. If it would say WTH, I certainly know what that means.
Or WTF, I know what that one is.
Yeah, or yeah, that's what I meant.
WFH?
Yeah, see, you didn't know either. But it makes sense once you Google it.
Yeah.
Work from home. I didn't realize they had it as WFH.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, that was probably on our schedules or whatever when we were even at the government job because obviously during COVID and stuff, everybody had to work from home. And then after that point, after the pandemic, there was a lot of people that worked from home. And then you'd see that on the work calendar, be like, you know, Jace, WFH. You're like, oh, okay, yeah.
I've not seen it like that. And it's not even a word. It's not a word. It's kind of dumb.
It's an abbreviation. It's an acronym, whatever you want to call it. You know, that's not a word, though.
Speaking of dumb, another word added, dumb phone. Which, that's nothing new.
Is that is that the phone where it's got the ice button on it? And you're just like, why are you calling ice on your phone? Why have a specific button for it? And it's like, no, that stands for in case of emergency.
Yeah. Doom scroll is another word they're adding.
That a lot of people are doing that these days.
Yeah. The publisher announced it's revising and reimagining its 12th edition 22 years after their last update. Other
22
edition.
Years, really? I thought they added new words to the dictionary every year.
I thought they did too, but they say they're reimagining it and maybe they're like revising a lot of stuff. But they do. It seems like
what's
they
the
add
official
words.
Definition for Riz then?
That's what's going in. Did you know that?
No, I figured it would be.
Yeah, Riz is going in.
Yeah.
Kind of like you got it going on, right?
It's self-confidence.
It's like
and,
charisma. Or
yeah,
whatever,
I mean, that's actually what it's short for now that you mention that. Yeah, it is short for charisma. Mm-hmm. So it's not really a new word. It's a shortened form of a word. So
if you hear the kids saying Riz, that's what that means. Cold brew, dad bod, hard pass, and cancel culture also going in.
But I mean, some of those are literally, those are phrases. I mean, dad bod is not really, you know,
cold
a
brew
word.
Is two words.
Yeah,
too.
Dad bod is dad bod is short for dad body, which that's still two words. It's
what
not
are you
a
doing,
word.
Merriam-Webster Dictionary. And there's other dictionaries
trying,
too
they're
now.
They're trying
out
to be
there.
Cool like that and be like, we'll add it so that way it's an official word. Okay.
I guess. There was word out too. That William Shatner was in the hospital or whatever.
Oh, really?
I think TMZ reported it yesterday.
And I can't.
Usually they're pretty accurate.
Feel my
about
face,
him.
Bonnie.
He says he's perfectly fine.
Oh, sure. He's in his 90s, isn't he?
Yeah. I didn't think he was that old. He's 94.
94. Wow, he's getting older than I thought.
Supposedly suffered a medical emergency at his home, taken to the hospital, but is they're trying to downplay that. He's fine.
Did he fall and like have a life alert episode?
No, it sounded like his blood sugar may have been off from what TMZ was saying. So.
Okay, well, I mean, maybe that's easier to deal with. I mean, my grandmother who had the stroke when she fell down and broke her hip, I mean, that was kind of it was one of those grandmother situations. They fall down, break their hip, go to the hospital, eventually get pneumonia there, et cetera. So
sad.
Something, if it's a blood sugar, hopefully that's something they can correct and they can get him home and living back at his house.
Mm-hmm. But he says he's okay, so that's good to hear. Did you see the Hershey lawsuit, too? Hershey's won a lawsuit claiming its Reese's Halloween candies aren't spooky enough. So, like, if you see the wrapper and you'll see, like, a ghost or a vampire or bat on it, but then you open it up and it's like just the process. Sometimes they look kind of lame. You can't even see.
Oh, as far as like it's supposed to be the shape of a ghost or whatever?
Yeah, or the
ones?
imprint on there isn't as great as you might think.
But the thing is that it's chocolate covered. So sometimes if that gets a little bit too warm and somehow in the box or in the shipping it gets a little bit smushed, I mean, you end up with weird shaped ones. I mean, it's still going to taste the same as my grandmother would say. It'll make a turd.
There you go. It was a class action lawsuit accusing the company of false advertising because the jack-o'-lantern Reese's cups didn't have a face. But the package showed a grinning pumpkin. The consumers claimed they were disappointed when they unwrapped their treats. But a U.S. district judge ruled the lawsuit failed to prove there was any economic injury. So.
Well, my question would be is that did that affect the flavor of said item?
That's exactly what I mean. The
judge said. If it didn't have a face on it, did that mean you didn't eat the chocolate covered peanut butter? I don't think so. You're still going to eat it. Be like, oh, this doesn't look like a jack-o'-lantern. I love peanut butter cups.
Exactly. So if you were into that class action lawsuit, you will not see any money for that.
Waste of time.
7:54, President Trump announcing new tariffs on multiple products could affect you. We will talk about that in your money and markets straight ahead. 7:57, checking out your money and markets. Wall Street closed yesterday. Stocks again were lower. It comes over concerns over the new AI industry remain with Oracle falling for the third straight day. Today, the latest PCE price index will release as investors will also keep an eye on Washington, D.C., with a potential government shutdown looming. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 173 points, S&P 500 dropped 33, and the NASDAQ fell 113.
I don't like that. I don't like it at all. I mean, it's just a little blip. It's not a big deal, but still I don't like it.
You only like when it goes up, making money.
Yeah,
he checks
exactly.
It every day. I check mine like maybe once a year.
Well, I just do it when I see the numbers. And then when I see the numbers in the market, I know how my stuff's doing. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, we can all rest easy now. TikTok will continue to operate in the U.S. President Trump signed an executive order on Thursday to approve a deal that allows a Chinese company to sell the social media platform. The deal facilitates the sale of the popular social media app to a group of American investors. Under the deal, the app's U.S. operations will be run by a new company. TikTok's current owner, China-based ByteDance, will hold under 20% of the stock in this new company. Congress had voted last year to ban the video sharing app for national security reasons unless it's sold to U.S. operations. Trump said he thinks the deal is great for the U.S.
Maybe that's why Jay Thomas just got on TikTok.
I was wondering that. I saw that. I see Ronnie Lee's on there now. So, I mean, everybody's
Cool Kids Club.
They're finally doing it.
President Trump is announcing new tariffs on multiple products that take effect October 1st, which is next Wednesday. Trump said on Truth Social Media that 100% tariffs on pharmaceuticals will take effect unless drug makers are building U.S. factories. He also separately went on to announce the administration will impose a 50% tariff on all kitchen cabinets, bathroom vanities, and associated products, as well as a 30% tariff on upholstered furniture.
Yeah, like we had talked during the break, Bonnie, I think that might affect the home builders if they buy it from big box realtors. I mean, I don't know where their cabinets are coming from. I'm personally concerned with the tariffs on pharmaceuticals because technically I don't know where some of my medicines are coming from, if they're produced locally, if they're produced elsewhere.
Potentially
so, I mean,
it affects everybody who's taking medications.
Especially ones that help keep us alive. Key inflation report will be released this morning. Investors will be watching for August Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, easy for everyone to say, the Federal Reserve preferred inflation measure. Economists are predicting the report will show a slight uptick in inflation. On Thursday, the Labor Department said initial claims for unemployment insurance were well below expectations last week, and U.S. gross domestic product numbers posted a gain of 3.8% in the second quarter.
And Starbucks plans to close hundreds of cafes this month as part of a $1 billion restructuring plan. They say they plan to close about 1% of its more than 18,000 North American locations by the end of the month. Company also announced 900 corporate layoffs. Excuse me.
I know you get choked up.
I love your coffee. I love allergies. Company also announced 900 corporate layoffs and said employees affected will be notified today.
18,000 Starbucks locations.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing to know they have that many.
Not a really great day at the office today, I would say, for Starbucks employees.
No, unfortunately not.
Especially if you're up on the top echelon there. We shall see how that shakes out. Mm-hmm. All right, Pick 6, Big Game, James McCarty. That'll be coming up in 10 minutes. We want you to get involved in that. Whoever gets the most picks right wins a great prize. Brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ram Jack North. It is 8 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 804, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki banging on the counter, looking the, you're trying to get out of here already this morning.
Playing little drums this morning, you know.
I think you have way radio today. Maybe you should do broadcasts from outside later on today.
No doubt. I mean, it is a beautiful one outside.
A little patio right there.
I like it. I like it. 40s out there right now. A nice, pleasant, crisp start to the morning. And we're going to see plenty of sun today. A little breezy out of the south-southeast. That'll be increasing throughout the day, 10 to 25, and highs in the upper 70s today. Clear down into the mid-upper 40s tonight, and winds turn back to the west-northwest on Saturday, about 5 to 15, and highs in the low to mid-70s. So beautiful weather for homecoming or anything outdoors. And then Sunday, it's going to be a breezy one out of the south with highs around 80. And then near record warmth to start off next week with mid to upper 80s to end the month of September. Unbelievable weather. And again, just to get out and enjoy it, because these days, I hate to say it, but we all know they're limited. So plenty of sun. What a stretch of weather over the last 10 days. Sunshine and or 7 to 10 days. Sunshine and, for the most part, light winds and just beautiful, beautiful weather.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take it.
Have fun. Yeah. Have a good weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right. We won't see. Well, we'll be sneaking out the door. We won't see you on the air anymore today. Yeah.
No, that's
on
why, our show. That's why I said have a good weekend.
I know. I gotcha.
Wow.
I'm picking up what you're laying down there.
Bonnie's hitting that hottie toddy earlier.
I know exactly
it's
what you meant.
It's the weekend, man. Mm-hmm.
It is for some, man.
And then I'm gonna duck and run when I decide to slide out today.
Thank you, Nino.
Slide out before anybody throws anything extra at you.
8:05, we're going to have a check on your national news from ABC. And then when we come back, your pick six, your six games you need to pick to win a fabulous prize from us here at the radio station.
Yeah, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. So go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Get yourself lined up for that. James will be in shortly. Coming up Monday morning, Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. Flatland Music Flashback brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing Eddie Cochran, Grand Funk Railroad, Robert Palmer, Prince, and Nelson.
Ooh, Robert Palmer again. Nelson, the Nelson twins are going to be on?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, man.
Be listening Monday morning right around 6:56. It is 8:06.
It is time once again for your pick six. It is brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North, your number one pick for complete foundation repair, egress window installation, and replacement. And you know what? Go back and think back to last winter. You're going along snow blowing, and then crack, you hit that uneven sidewalk or large crevice in your driveway. The blower hits you right in the gut. Your hands hurt. Not this year. Concrete Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North, they can level that concrete and put an end to your pain. Learn more at PCCND.com.
There you go. Jimmy's here. Big game, James McCarty.
Oh, it's time. It is time for the best time of the week.
Now, last week there were a few games that threw people like you at, what was it, the Illinois-Indiana? Is that what it was, that game? That was
a
big
whenever
blowout.
You have a top 10 team give up 63 points,
That
throws a couple
ideal.
People for a wrench, all right?
Might we find some surprises this week?
Well, maybe? Hey, this maybe. Week it'll be... There's a couple of toss-up games because we like to keep you on your toes. But also at the same point, when half the Missouri Valley's on a bye every other week, it seems like for about a month, that also does present opportunities for some other games from around the country. You have your first game of the week. That's Minnesota State Moorhead, the Dragons, at number 16-ranked Minnesota Duluth. You know, I got to start being like the professionals and just... I'm calling that game. I can't pick it.
Like the professionals. You are a professional. What are you talking about,
Jimmy? That's a good point. Let's cut that and put that up on social media so everybody understands where I'm sitting at on the totem pole here. So, yeah, that first game, of as we know, the Dogs had beat the Dragons every single time in Division II, in the Division II era specifically, until last season when the Dragons walked them off on a Brady Perryman two-point conversion.
But it's an away game for
it
us.
It is. Well, it was away last season, too.
I know who you're picking because you're not allowed to pick against the Dragons.
Yes. Well,
he did that one time, and he'll never be forgiven.
Weirdly enough, it was this game specifically, too.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. But regardless, I'm the broadcaster. I can't pick that game. So that's what we're...
Oh, you're just going to skip it?
That's what we're going to do. I think we all know where my heart lies in that one. So yeah, we'll just put it that way. Brady Perryman, he not only had the walk-off, but he's also approaching history. He's tied with Adam Jisker for the program record for receiving touchdowns. So opportunity to create more history there in Duluth this weekend. Game number two of the week, Concordia College take on Gustavus Adolphus. This was a matchup last season where the Cobbers edged out the Gusties in the playoff week on the road, 17-14, if I remember correctly, the final game of the season. I'm going to go Cobber football on this one. I know that the offense, you know, they're trying to work through some things. It was a little bit tough sledding last weekend, but that defense is legit for the Cobbers this year, and I'm not going to bet against them at home. That's a big thing. So I'm going to roll with that one. Game three of the week, this is a game that, you know, the Bison, it's homecoming. They're going to be juiced up. South Dakota, though, has won, I believe, back-to-back regular season meetings against the Bison.
Regular season game, yeah. The last time that the Coyotes were in the Fargo Dome, they got out to an early couple-touchdown lead, I believe, and then it was obviously on from there. But I don't think that Tim Polasek and this NDSU squad are taking USD lightly. And quite honestly, through the first four games of the season, USD, with all of the many transfers those guys had out, they lost the defensive player of the year. They lost three starting offensive linemen. They've lost a running back that could be an All-American to injury. This is a game that, I don't know, this game heavily favors the Bison at home for homecoming, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and so when you mix it up a little bit that way, the Bison, it's their full attention. They have their full attention, so you just have to go, you know what, even though South Dakota's won back-to-back, Aiden Bauman, though, is the most experienced quarterback possibly in the entire subdivision here at this point.
He is.
So that's something that you have to look at. Regardless, I'm not going against the Bison at the Dome on homecoming. I'm going North Dakota State in that one. I saw there's a typo later on in here, so I'll explain that to those.
Way to go.
I'm trying to fill the form up and I see a big red line, that means I need to type it wrong.
It's a very self-explanatory one. I mixed up one word.
Okay.
So thankfully. Game number four of the week, that's a top 10 national matchup on, featuring the Big Ten. You know, the Big Ten, obviously the originals for this conference, Penn State and Oregon. Because, you know, before the 90s, Penn State wasn't there, and before last season, Oregon wasn't either. But you know what? When you got 20 teams in your conference, you find a way to go coast to coast.
That should be a fun game.
It should be. Number 6, Oregon. Number 3, Penn State. This is going to be where College Game Day is at this weekend. It's going to be the annual wideout for Penn State. It's going to be a hostile environment. Dan Lanning, though, as we know, has had revived the Ducks program a couple of seasons ago, and Oregon is firing on all cylinders. Penn State, Coach James Franklin, in year 12, I believe, if I remember correctly, with Penn State, every year it's about, hey, the Nittany Lions, they're a team to be reckoned with. They're a force in the country. And then when it comes to the big top 10 matchup, the big game of the year, they always fall short. Is this going to be the year that Penn State can win the big game? Is this the year that Drew Aller takes the squad up over the top and they become that actual contender nationally that is looking to try and win that national championship, that elusive one over the last few decades? Same point, Oregon knows the feeling of being number one and then having it ripped right away from you by Ohio State last season. It's a whiteout. It's Penn State. Oregon, going to be a fun matchup regardless. I know we'll be doing it on our way home from Duluth. I'm going Penn State in this one. In a whiteout, that's a tough environment. It's a crazy tough environment with 100,000 people wearing white screaming down your throat about how they want to go and take out the Ducks.
Focus on the field.
Exactly.
Not the crowd.
Game number five of the week, that's Minnesota taking on Rutgers. It's at 11 a.m. tomorrow in Minnesota. This is the typo I have. I forgot to take Indiana out from last week's game five. So it says Indiana or Rutgers for your options currently.
Oh.
If you pick in the next 3 or 4 minutes before I get it switched, Indiana is Minnesota, and Minnesota is Indiana.
I see there's a couple people that wrote down Indiana. So.
Way to go.
We'll change it so that...
Yep, we should be able to fix that.
Okay.
So we shouldn't have an issue there. So that's just on me. That's my fault. So regardless, I'm going to pick Indiana fighting Gophers for this one. I don't know how else to put it. The Gophers, you know what? Ethan Kaliak-Manis, the former Gopher quarterback, starting for Rutgers now, the former defensive coordinator of the Gophers, now also the DC for Rutgers. This is a matchup where you have an experienced quarterback in Kaliak-Manis, but you put pressure on him, and he likes to throw a slant route about 30 yards down the field. For those who know what a slant route is, that maybe is 10 yards down the field, so the safety in Coy Parrish will be there to pick it off, is my point. As long as you put pressure on him. At the same point,
Kaliak-Manis, one of the best names in football. Mm-hmm.
The Gophers have a young redshirt freshman quarterback in Drake Lindsey.
Mm-hmm.
He has been a young man who has looked overall for a freshman pretty darn good. He's still got some growing pains to go through. At the same point, Rutgers has the defense that...
Well, Greg Schiano's
very, very optional.
Greg Schiano's there as a coach, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, yep. He's supposed to be a defensive type of coach. So, I mean, you would think that Rutgers would kind of hang their head on defense first. But I don't know. I mean, you're a Gophers guy, so I can't imagine you going against the Gophers. But how tough a game will this be
for the Gophers?
Last time
they played, Rutgers got the better end of them. And yeah. I think that the Gophers are going to take this a little bit more serious. Also, when they played last season, Rutgers came off a bye, and the Gophers didn't.
Yep.
The Gophers had a bye last week. They had their full attention for 2 weeks of the Scarlet Knights there. Also, Rutgers, they were at Iowa last weekend. They competed, but it's tough to go to Iowa City and stay healthy. I'll put it that way, because that's a bruiser type of matchup.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go Gophers or Indiana on that one for those who are looking to fill up the board right now. Game six, your pick six game of the week. Minnesota Vikings taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. That'll be on Sunday at 8:30 on NFL Network. You know what? Our good friend Aaron Rodgers is back. This time he's in the black and gold. And you know what? They've looked good the first couple of weeks. Both teams coming at 2-1. Carson Wentz going to be looking to sling the rock around for the Vikings.
Still could be interesting quarterback matchup.
Who would have thought that we'd see a quarterback matchup of Aaron Rodgers versus Carson Wentz? That at one point it was an Eagles starting quarterback and a Packers starting quarterback.
And could have ended up with Aaron Rodgers.
We finally see the matchup, and here it is in Dublin, of all places, and it's Steelers versus Vikings when we get Rodgers versus Wentz finally.
Yeah,
so.
I tell you what, I don't know how many people were going to predict that properly.
I don't think so. I don't think anybody would have.
Yeah, so you've got that in itself. Sorry, I'm fixing the
And for those of you who have, and there's been a number of people who have already filled in Indiana,
we know what's going on.
Well, we hope that we know.
No, we do.
Maybe they're like, oh, Minnesota versus Rutgers? Let me change my answer.
James created extra work for me, but it's fine.
The worst part about it is, well, can you put Minnesota / in? Oh, no, you probably can't.
No, we'll
figure it out. I don't know how the form works.
Our old tech guy Gabe created
it. I just kind of worked through it, you know.
It's fine.
So.
I'll figure it out by Monday morning.
Don't worry.
Well,
it'll be okay.
I'll be in at like 5:45 or so, give or take, on Monday morning. I can go through the issue
that
I have.
That's procrastinating. No, I will have it done before then. I will have it done Sunday night.
We don't have to do it until...
But it'll be on my mind, relax. Then I won't be able to sleep. I'll be thinking of it all night long.
It's an 8 a.m. thing. I can get it done at 6. It'll be fine.
We'll get it figured out.
Gee whiz, man. Your pick six game of the week, Vikings-Steelers. Defensively, the Vikings looked really good last week. They're believe it or not, through three games, Vikings opponents... on third and long, which is third and six or longer, are 1-18. For 18.
Got to win on
Vikings,
third downs.
Well, when they put them behind the sticks, the way that the Vikings have brought different guys off of edge rushing, that they've switched up their looks, it's made life really tough. It's like a science experiment that is not benefiting the opponent so far. At the same point, literally nobody the Vikings are going to play this season. Except for the Steelers have a quarterback as experienced as Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the dude's been around for 2 decades now at this point. I think literally, wasn't he an 2005 draft pick, I believe?
Could have been.
I believe it was that first round 2005.
He got drafted when Brett Favre was there.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's been around forever. He's in his 40s now, so if somebody's going to be able to diagnose anything that is going on defensively for the Vikings, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Tom Brady.
That's currently playing.
We're
not talking about that flag football league in Saudi Arabia or whatever's going on next year either.
He's just trying to give back to the football community. Come on now.
Exactly.
What's your prediction for the score then?
All right. This weekend, it's always different in
when they do the overseas game, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's in London or, for example, this weekend in Dublin.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's ever been one in Dublin that can
a
I can
pro
recall.
Game. I'm not sure. I know
in London they do
games.
A half a dozen every year now.
Yeah, Dublin. I don't know if this is the first one there. I forget. I know they've done college kickoff games that are back to back years, so this might be a first. But I mean, I don't know if the weather's going to be a factor. If it's going to be a little more rainy over there, so what do you got?
Yeah, it's. You know, you just go back and forth on. You're like, man, you know, the defenses should hold up well. Are the offenses firing the way that they could be, should be? You know, an extra week in the system, is that going to affect the way that Carson slings the ball around now that there's some film on him in a game?
Yeah.
I'm kind of just jumping around more or less with scores than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this is going to turn into a first to 20 matchup. I think it'll be one of those where I think both defenses are going to play well, but I think there will be probably give or take two drives by each team in the game where they're going to move the ball efficiently and then the defenses are going to clamp down. I'm going to go Vikings 20-17.
Interesting.
In this one.
A lot of the people weighing in so far are calling a fairly close game too.
I think I'm going lower scoring in it, but you know what? I've been wrong before.
But last week, Dave in Grand Rapids, when I saw his, he had like 35-something.
Yeah.
We thought that was shooting high, but Dave ended up being our winner.
Yeah.
He was the only person that got all six games right, too.
James,
so.
I know we had all of the local teams playing, you know, Concordia, MSUM, NDSU,
yep.
Gophers, and obviously the Vikings. Didn't want to sneak in Miami versus Florida State this weekend. Two undefeateds down in Florida going head-to-head and a meaningful game for the first time in a long time?
No. No, not since a national voter moved Florida up in the polls after losing to South Florida and didn't respect the bowls.
Isn't the bowls. This is Florida State.
I know, but I'm just saying. I'm the state of Florida is out right now because of that one voter from California.
There you go.
For those who know, they know.
For those who don't,
it doesn't matter too much. But it just irritated me.
All right, thank you, James.
Get your picks in by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. And thanks to Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North for sponsoring our Pick 6. Go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Look for the Pick 6 midway down the page and fill out your picks. And good luck to all of you.
There you go. A local veteran-owned company called God Bless Vodka is our beverage of the week. It's ready to drink a vodka drink with natural flavors, sugar-free, no artificial colors, zero carbs. Just 115 calories, ready to drink with 6% alcohol. Two flavors currently, blue raspberry lemonade and lemon lemonade, come in four packs of 12-ounce cans. And it's more than a name for the company. God Bless Vodka is a salute to the country, character, and those who serve, veteran-owned and operated, Bonnie.
We even did some sampling the blue raspberry lemonade flavor when we were out golfing Monday.
It was fantastic.
One mission here is to create something bold, authentic, unapologetically American. Again, God Bless Vodka. They've got some pretty sharp-looking cans out there. Mm-hmm. Look for it at your favorite local retail liquor store. If you want to hear more about the story of our three local veterans who own God Bless Vodka, you can go to gbvspirits.com.
And obviously this weekend, remember to salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and first responders out there for us every single day. This message is brought to you by Bevers Wholesalers in Fargo.
8:25, we're heading to the American Ag Network. Then Janae and Ronnie slide in from the coffee club. We find out what they have planned on today's show. Hope those jeans fit just right because we're heading into winter season pretty quick. Well, you might have to size up. Why are you guys both looking at me? Janae and Jace just gave me the look.
Might have to just get them stretched out a little bit extra. That's what I got to do in the wintertime.
That's what these, what are these new pants with the stretchy, like
stretchy
the golf jeans. Pants?
Trust me, you go to even someplace like Old Navy and they've got jeans they're not all denim, so they're stretchier. They're a little more comfortable.
Stretch has been around like 20 years already.
Been a while. Jeans.
Yeah. That'd be disappointing if you have some that don't have a little give to them.
Well, not some of the denim. It's just like, well, I'm not wearing those right now.
It happens. What's coming up on your Friday edition of the Coffee Club?
Junk Market is going on this weekend, so we're going to learn all about that with Miss Carrie. And then Elena Christensen's going to join us for Veterans Friday. She does the buys and tickets for veterans.
Oh, yes.
She started that several years back. Mm-hmm, it's a pretty cool program. So we're going to visit with her about that and veterans, she'll tell you how you can get some tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we're going to have a good time.
You always do. It is Friday, so why wouldn't you have a good time?
Yeah. We always do.
Exactly. All right. Well, stay tuned for the Friday edition of the Coffee Club. Jace, let's get out of here.
All right. You betcha. We'll be on the radio tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. on our sister station, WZFG, for pregame before kickoff at noon.
Dragons football. And safe travels to you and James as you guys head off to Duluth. Bonnie and friends, we will be back Monday morning at 5 a.m. Have yourselves a fantastic weekend.